The Witch Rescues Her Werewolf, a Nocturne Falls Universe story. Written by Kate Dean. Narrated by B.J. Harrison. Dear Reader, Nocturne Falls has become a magical place for so many people, myself included. Over and over I've heard from you that it's a town you'd love to visit and even live in. I can tell you that writing the books is just as much fun for me. With your enthusiasm for the series in mind, and your many requests for more books, the Nocturne Falls universe was born. It's a project near and dear to my heart, and one I am very excited about. I hope these new guest-authored books will entertain and delight you. And best of all, I hope they allow you to discover some great new authors. And if you like this book, be sure to check out the rest of the Nocturne Falls universe offerings. For more information about the Nocturne Falls universe, visit kristenpainter.com/sugar-skull-books. In the meantime, happy reading. Kristen Painter. Chapter 1. Lydia Reston stood in front of the house she had bought, sight unseen, not sure whether to laugh or weep.
The realtor, Pandora, did say it looked spooky.
She wrapped her fingers around the rose quartz pendant she always wore. Contact with the warm, smooth crystal helped calm her. She traced the simple heart shape and glanced down at Max, her black cat and constant companion.
What do you think?
He glared at her with his jewel-green eyes and let out an unhappy yowl.
Well, I like it.
Lydia crossed her arms, looking beyond the naked black trees in the front yard and dormant rose bushes along the front of the porch. She could make those bloom.
We live on Cauldron Lane, Max. How cool is that?
A cool breeze ruffled her bright, shoulder-length red hair, and she huddled in her thin jacket. She was going to need warmer clothes, which would be a perfect excuse to explore downtown and peek into all the local stores. Her enthusiasm faded as she remembered her reason for fleeing California and landing in Nocturne Falls, Georgia. Her magic was fading. She had no idea how or why. When her best friend Tammy had told her about Nocturne Falls, she knew she had found the place for her. Tammy had claimed she'd stumbled across it while researching an answer to why Lydia was losing her magic. Something Lydia was inclined to believe. That girl had a way with a keyboard. Even though she knew she would miss Tammy, moving across the country ticked several boxes. Escaping her possessive ex, Ned Turner, finding a place where she could blend in, and hopefully learning why she was losing her magic. She tapped Max with her foot. "Let's go inside, Grumpy, and check out our new digs." He sniffed, but he followed Lydia through the rickety gate and up the surprisingly well-kept sidewalk. In fact, the closer she got to the house, the less run down it looked. When she reached the base of the porch steps, she finally sensed it.
"A glamour," she whispered, reaching out.
Power hummed against her fingers.
A powerful one. The former owner obviously didn't enjoy visitors.
"No, she didn't."
Lydia jumped at the masculine voice. When she spun around, Max crouched in front of her, hissing. She had to look up to meet the owner's amused blue eyes. He was tall and really muscular.
"Sorry," she said. "You startled my cat."
He smiled at Max.
"He's a fierce protector."
To Lydia's shock, he crouched down and reached out to Max.
"Don't!"
She cut herself off and stared, mouth open, as Max not only purred, but wrapped himself around the man's ankle. Max, who hated every male who had ever stepped into Lydia's life.
"Max?"
The man slid his fingers into Max's thick fur.
"You recognize one of your own, don't you?"
After a few more rubs, he straightened and held out his hand.
"I'm Elias Saunders, your next-door neighbor. Well, your kitty-corner neighbor."
He pointed at the beautiful blue-and-white Victorian that sat on the left side of the street.
Lydia's house stood on the street's dead end, on a big lot that isolated her from her neighbors. She held out her hand. I'm...
Lydia.
He smiled at her raised eyebrows.
Pandora told me to watch for you, since she couldn't be here to meet you when you arrived.
Lydia glanced from him to Max, who now lay on his back, his belly exposed.
Max didn't do that for anyone but her.
When her gaze moved back to Elias, she saw the energy around him, an energy she'd never seen before. And after spending years in L.A., that was saying something. Tammy had told her about the history of the town, but Lydia had expected other witches, maybe a fae or two, not something she couldn't identify. She grabbed Max and took a giant step back. What are you? Elias kept his distance.
A gargoyle.
He glanced down at Max, who was fighting Lydia's grip.
My natural form is a cat, which might explain Max's unusual behavior. And you're here to find out why your magic is fading.
How?
Small town. News travels. At least among the supernaturals. Don't worry. We keep each other's secrets.
He took her hand, his grip surprisingly gentle, considering her hand looked like a doll's in his large palm.
If there's an answer, Lydia, you'll find it here.
Thank you. He squeezed her hand, then let go and picked up Max. The traitor curled in the crook of Elias's thick muscled arm like he was a long-lost relative.
Want to go inside? Check out your house?
He must have sensed her hesitation.
I promise I don't bite. But if you'd be more comfortable, I can give you the keys and leave you alone.
No. She took a deep, not quite steady breath. If she was going to have a gargoyle as a next-door neighbor, she needed to get used to the idea. I'd like the company. Some of her enthusiasm returned, along with a zing of nerves. All I know about the house is that it came furnished. I never even saw a photo. Or her realtor, who Lydia suspected wasn't just a realtor.
Ah, Pandora. She could sell snow to Eskimos. You'll find that's not unique here.
He winked and took her hand.
Welcome to Nocturne Falls.
Lydia followed her gargoyle neighbor around the surprisingly spacious interior, rubbing her rose quartz pendant, and tried not to cringe as they encountered piece after piece of hideous furniture. I hope they have flea markets here, or discount shops. It looked like she was going to have to replace a house full of furniture. Max didn't seem to mind. After sniffing the especially ugly purple and black striped velvet sofa, he leaped up and curled into the corner. Lydia wanted to join him. The drive from California had been beyond exhausting, fueled by need and gallons of caffeine. Now she was paying for it, fighting to stay awake, and fighting the urge to plop down on the queen bed in the master bedroom.
New mattress. Lydia?
She jerked her head up at Elias's voice. Sorry, everything's catching up with me.
Pandora did tell me you were driving from California. Why don't you take a nap? All the mattresses are new, courtesy of the former owner, and Pandora bought sheets, a housewarming gift, he said when Lydia started to object. She figured you'd be exhausted and want a freshly made bed to slip into.
I'll thank her when I... A giant yawn cut her off, and Elias smiled.
There's my not-so-subtle hint. I'll leave you to your nap. If you need a guide to take you around in the next day or so, just give me a holler. After that, I'll be out of town, visiting family.
He didn't look all that happy about it. Lydia could relate. Thanks. It was nice meeting you, Elias. He winked at her and walked out of the bedroom. She heard him say goodbye to Max, accompanied by loud purring. Looks like you found a new soulmate, traitor. She muttered, smiling as she said it. If Max could be receptive to one male, he might accept another. Not going there, Lydia. This is the first day of my new, man-free life. She moved to the window and watched her neighbor cross the street, her gargoyle neighbor. A gargoyle? She'd expected some unusual supernaturals in Nocturne Falls, but not one who turned into a stone statue. She'd work that out later. Right now, she had an appointment with her new bed. She stripped off everything but her cami and her panties and climbed up to the tall bed. A thick pillow top enveloped her as she stretched out, and she sighed, snuggling in. The sheets were soft, the comforter warm, fluffy, and just right. Everything about this house felt that way, like it was waiting for her. As she drifted off, Lydia began to hope that her decision to move to Nocturne Falls would finally give her the answers she sought. If not, she hoped that being around those with power would give her some sense of peace when she lost her own. Chapter 2. The dream pulled Lydia in. She was too exhausted to fight it or wake herself up to escape it. She found herself in a garden, her garden, back in California. Her heart ached as she walked the brick pathway, missing this vital part of herself. As an earth witch, she loved the outdoors, and tending her garden had been her greatest joy. It looked wilder, with dark shadows where she only remembered light. The plants that had always made her smile seemed menacing, and snatched at the sleeves of the dark blue robe she wore, a robe she'd left behind when she walked away from the coven. "This isn't real," she whispered. "It's a dream, just a dream." The fear threatening to choke her was all too real. The feeling of being trapped in a place she had once escaped to for solitude left her shaky. When she backed into a rose bush, thorns coiled out of the branches to snag at her robe, tangle in her hip-length hair. She jerked away, the part of her mind that clung to the present reminding her that she didn't have long hair. Another small but jarring detail that reminded her that she was caught up in a dream. Just when she thought she could ride it out unscathed, a hooded figure walked out of the shadows. Pain ripped through her when one gloved hand held out a glowing white stone. She sank to her knees, her legs refusing to hold her. "No, please, not my magic." Hope filtered through the terror when she felt a presence. She looked around toward the dark corner of the garden. She couldn't see anyone, but she felt someone. She also felt the invisible wall that separated them. Whoever it was, she wouldn't get any help from them, no matter how much they wanted to give it.
"Go, while you still can."
She pressed one hand to her heart and let out a wordless cry as the stone sucked at her power. It left her a thin, glowing strand of blue light, taking with it all that she was, all that she had ever hoped to be.
"Stop," she whispered. "Please."
The stone pulsed, and the figure holding it laughed. Lydia recoiled and lost her balance, falling against the cracked brick pavers. If she didn't escape now, she knew she would die, here, in this dream landscape, alone. Not alone. She reached toward the shadows, felt whoever was there fighting to get to her, fighting like a wild man. A quick glimpse of gold eyes and dark hair showed Lydia her would-be hero before he disappeared.
"No!"
Agony had her doubling over. She used the last of her strength to lift her head, face the hooded figure.
She screamed when all she saw was empty darkness.
Harrison Gray jerked upright, still reaching for the woman. The throbbing in his right shoulder finally forced him to lower his arm, and he opened his eyes. His neat, familiar bedroom greeted him. He let out a shaky breath and swung his legs over the edge of the bed, his left hand clenching the tangled, damp sheets. It had been a dream. Once he was certain his legs would hold him, he stood
and made his way to the small bathroom.
The cold water helped him focus, washing away the smell of fear sweat that still slipped down his face. He had never had a dream as vivid or as bound in emotion. The woman, the witch, had been terrified, and he had been helpless, trapped behind an invisible wall as he watched her power drain from her. Even with the agony that radiated from her, she had warned him to leave. Harrison would never forget those clear, haunted gray eyes, or the pale, beautiful face. It may have been a dream, but it was one he would remember. That kind of raw fear was impossible to forget. He dried his face and went back to the bedroom, pulling out a clean set of sheets. There would be no more sleep for him, not tonight. He glanced at the clock on his nightstand. Just past 3 a.m. He could remake his bed, take a shower, and get some paperwork done before he opened the shop. With a sigh, he started stripping the bed, careful to use his left arm for the bulk of the work. His right shoulder would only ache more as the anniversary of his injury drew closer. No need to aggravate it more. It was already going to be a long, lonely few hours, with the memory of gray eyes, red hair, and admirable courage to keep him company. Lydia's hoarse scream woke her. She bolted up and almost fell out of bed. Max let out a startled yowl and leapt off the pillow next to her.
Max, oh, thank heaven.
Now she knew she was awake. Max hadn't been part of her life when she'd belonged to the coven.
I'm sorry I scared you.
She stared at the new, unfamiliar comforter. That was some messed up dream. After a few deep, shaky breaths, she calmed herself enough to reach for her phone without fear of knocking it off the nightstand. Just after 3 a.m. She'd been sleeping for hours, but she felt more exhausted than when she went to bed. Max crawled over to her and laid his head in her lap.
I never want to have a dream like that, ever.
It was more like a nightmare, and her fading magic had prompted it. Just like in her dream, it leaked out of her like she had a hole somewhere, one she could find and couldn't fix.
I thought moving here would help, she whispered,
burying her face in Max's thick, silky fur.
What if it gets worse?
What if all the hopes she'd laid on this unusual town blew up in her face?
Enough of that, Lydia.
She scrubbed at her face and pushed aside the image still seared into her mind, a faceless, hooded figure holding a stone that could steal her power.
Enough.
She climbed out of the huge bed and padded downstairs, Max on her heels. Her hand found every light switch on the way, flicking on lights. She told herself it was because she didn't know her way around yet, but she knew she couldn't face darkness or shadows. Not yet. The bright overhead lights in the kitchen made her wince, and she closed her eyes almost to slits until she got used to the glare. Even though she knew it was empty, she opened the fridge and closed it again.
Looks like it's leftover road snacks, Max.
She grabbed the box of cheese crackers and opened them, throwing a few Max's way. He made short work of them, and she tossed him a few more, smiling as he gobbled them down. With a sigh, she munched on a handful as she stared out the window over the kitchen sink. The backyard of this house stretched out behind the house, almost an acre of smooth green lawn, not a bush or plant in sight. Lydia might keep it that way for a while. Having her own plants attack her, even in a dream, had disturbed her almost as much as the hooded figure. She absently rubbed her rose quartz heart, the crystal quickly warming under her touch. Contact with it calmed her, like it always did. With a tired sigh, she let that calm seep through her.
She expected to be up the rest of the night, but the aftermath of the long drive here and the soothing effect of her crystal had her eyes drooping again.
"Come on, Max,"
she yawned and closed up the crackers.
"Let's go back to bed."
She would take some ibuprofen, enough to knock her out for a few hours. Let some creep in a hood try to find his way through that drug haze. She turned lights off as she headed back upstairs, all of them but the one next to her bed. That would stay on, as a way to keep the nightmare from finding its way back into her subconscious. Max claimed the right side of the bed, so she took the other side and slid under the covers.
"Good night, old man," she mumbled, her eyes already closing.
Just before she fell asleep, she whispered an old earth spell, one that protected all those who wandered the dreamscape. Chapter 3. Harrison compiled the day's to-do list in his head as he carefully made his way across the dim shop. He enjoyed the mental challenge, and focusing helped with his inherent clumsiness. His foot caught on the edge of a Persian rug, and he cursed under his breath, catching the closest shelf. Some days it worked better than others. Tomorrow was the anniversary of his injury, and his ability to trip over nothing seemed to accelerate in the days leading up to it. With a sigh, he gave up on the list, rubbing his right shoulder as he leaned against the shelf. After last night's dream, it ached more than usual, almost as if he had really been there, fighting to reach the witch, fighting against an invisible wall. "Enough," he muttered. It had been a dream, nothing more. He had enough to deal with today. There was no need to add an imaginary woman to the list, no matter how much he had been drawn to her. No point in dwelling about last night or the past. No amount of self-pity would change the fact that as a wolf shifter, he couldn't shift. Not since a rival had shoved a silver knife into his shoulder mid-shift. "Not today, Harry." He pushed off the shelf, determined to push away the depression that always gripped him this time of year. "Today is going to be a good day." He could wallow tomorrow. Today, he was going to sell customers tokens of their time in Nocturne Falls and enjoy every minute, no matter how exhausting. He strode to the high front counter, proud that he made it without his foot finding some invisible obstacle, and opened the antique cash register. The loud ding made him smile. Visitors loved the tall, gilded machine, and more than one child had stood on the tall stool he kept under the counter, ringing up their own sale. His heart ached every time he saw a happy family, knowing that children would never be part of his own future. No female shifter would have him, and since all the locals knew about his disability, he felt uncomfortable dating any eligible female. The few times he had tried ended miserably. Human women were not even a possibility. How would he explain his injury without revealing what he was? With an effort, he pushed the image aside and counted out the till. Just for today, he was going to enjoy every customer, every experience, even if it killed him. Long streaks of sunlight striped the bed when Lydia woke the second time. She sat, blinking the room into focus.
"What time is it?"
"Better question," she muttered, reaching for her phone.
"What day is it?"
The date startled her. After her nightmare, she'd slept through the rest of the night and most of her first full day here. Her growling stomach confirmed the fact. Max had joined her at some point and opened one eye when she poked him.
"Get up, lazy bones. Time to explore our new home."
She stretched, feeling refreshed and ready to wander the town. Halloween every day. What a fun way to attract tourists. Never mind that it allowed anyone with supernatural tendencies to hide in plain sight. She headed downstairs,
and found her single suitcase in the hallway. Elias must have brought it inside for her. I'll have to cook him a thank-you dinner. Lydia may be losing her magic, but she hadn't lost her skills in the kitchen. Max? She opened the suitcase, grabbed a fresh set of clothes and a towel. You have 10 minutes or I leave you behind. An irritated yowl answered her, and she smiled as she bounded up the stairs. A quick shower would be just the thing to refresh her. She was thankful now for the impulsive decision to cut her bright red hair from hip length to just past her shoulders. Ned had coveted it, which made the decision to cut easy. Instead of spending hours waiting for her thick hair to dry, now she could throw it into a ponytail or bun and go. The sense of freedom was heady, after spending most of her life pampering her hair. She wished she could have seen Ned's face when he'd heard about the drastic change. He couldn't have even gotten a lock for himself. She had the salon donate her hair to a local charity. Every thought flew out of her head when she got her first glimpse of the master bathroom. It had been completely remodeled and looked like it belonged in a hotel or spa. Wow, she whispered. She moved to the long white marble counter. It had double sinks, with a mirror framed in bleached wood hanging over each one. The slate floor was warm under her feet, and she spotted the controls on the wall. Heated floors, Max. We hit the jackpot. She set her clothes on the toilet and stripped down, staring at the shower that took up the far wall. It had 3 shower heads that she could see, and when she stepped inside, she found 2 more, on each wall. This is going to be the best shower of my life. After a fast but luxurious shower, she dried off and got dressed. Wrapping her hair in the towel, she strode into the bedroom, stopping next to the bed. Max? She looked down at him, hands on her hips. Are you getting up, or do I have to tickle you out of that bed? Max opened one eye, managing to glare at her while he yawned and stretched at the same time. I'll take that as a no. Your loss. She pulled the towel off her head and ran one hand through her hair. The damp strands felt good brushing against her neck, so she decided to leave it down and let it air dry. Last chance, old man. Coming or no? When Max burrowed his face into the pillow, she smiled and walked out of the bedroom. After a quick stop in the kitchen to leave fresh water and food for Max, she grabbed one of the apples she'd lived on while driving and headed out, excited to see her new hometown. Cauldron Lane led right into the center of town. It was a short, eye-opening walk and gave her a preview of what to expect when she hit the main street. People flocked past her, most of them dressed in outlandish costumes. Kids were everywhere, trick-or-treating at the businesses on both sides of the street. The businesses themselves had the most fun, crazy names. Some of the buildings tilted at odd angles. She decided it would be fun to make a list of the more outrageous names as she walked through the town. First, before she gave in to her need to explore her new home, she had a stop to make. She pulled the directions up on her phone and oriented herself. Willa Iskov's jewelry store, Illusions, was a few blocks away. Taking a deep breath, Lydia started walking. The sooner she faced the Fae who might be able to help her, the sooner she would know if that was even a possibility. Her walk ended too soon. Before she knew it, she had turned down Jack-o'-lantern Lane and stood in front of the pretty jewelry store. She hesitated, rubbing her rose quartz to help calm her nerves. Finally, she squared her shoulders, took in a shaky breath, and walked inside. A tall, beautiful woman looked up, smiling as Lydia approached her. Good afternoon, and welcome to Illusions. How can I help you? Lydia cleared her throat, her heart racing. She had placed all her hope on this one meeting, and now that she was here, she didn't want to let go of that hope. My name is Lydia Reston.
I just moved here, and I need to order some custom jewelry.
Of course.
The woman moved around the counter, almost gliding as she walked over to Lydia.
I'm Willa.
A frown marred her forehead.
Lydia, you're the witch whose power is fading.
Lydia sighed, not surprised that Willa knew. Like Elias had told her, news traveled fast in small towns.
That's me. Let's go into my office and talk about what you need. Ramona, watch the store.
A pretty woman with an explosion of brown curls smiled, waving at her.
Take your time, boss. I'll hold down the fort.
Just don't offer a discount to everyone who walks in.
Willa shook her head as she led Lydia through the store.
Brownies, she muttered.
Shock had Lydia staring at Ramona.
Brownie? You're first?
She smiled when Lydia nodded.
Get used to it. You won't find a bigger variety of supernaturals anywhere else.
They walked into an office, and Willa pointed at a chair.
Make yourself comfortable, and start when you're ready.
Lydia sat, watched Willa sit in the chair in front of the desk, and took a shaky breath.
My magic started fading about a month ago. Just saying it helped ease the burden on her heart, a burden she didn't know she was carrying around until it lessened. I don't know how or why. Every witch I knew in California checked me out, and all they could find was the echo of what might be a spell they'd never seen before.
I see. Willa picked up a notebook and pen and flipped open the notebook, writing as she talked.
And do you know any witch who might have a grudge against you?
Lydia shook her head. I broke up with my boyfriend, but he doesn't have any power. He didn't even care I was a witch. Not at first.
Then what happened?
He claimed that what he always referred to as my little hobby was coming between us about a month before I...
Pieces fell into place. The final picture shocking Lydia. My magic started fading not long after he...
It can't be. She pushed away the memory of the nightmare.
It had been a dream. A terrifying dream, but just a dream. Humans can always surprise.
Willa leaned over and touched her hand.
Especially if they think they're being neglected. But none of my friends could find the source or a reason. Just the echo of a spell.
Willa wrote something down, then looked at Lydia.
You need to face this man. Find out if he's behind your loss. Until then, I can help enhance what you have and maybe put up a block between your magic and whatever's draining it.
I... Thank you. It was so much more than she had hoped for.
No guarantees, Lydia. Whatever was cast on you smells like ancient magic, which is tricky and will get nasty with any attempt to block it.
I understand.
For the jewelry, I'll need something personal, something important to you. It has to be an item that will be difficult for you to give up, something of deep personal value.
Lydia nodded and rubbed her crystal heart one last time before she slipped the chain over her head and laid the pendant in Willa's open palm.
This has been my focus since I started practicing.
Nodding, Willa closed her fingers over the pendant.
It will do nicely. I can have the piece ready in a week. Any preference on what type of jewelry?
I would prefer a ring, something that can't be easily removed.
Got it.
Willa made a note and stood.
All I need is a contact number, and I'll get started.
What about payment?
We can work that out once I'm done. I won't know the cost until then. Do you have an upper limit?
I'd like to keep it under $1,000 if possible.
I can do that.
After another quick note, Willa tucked the notebook under her arm and held out her hand.
You'll be protected here. We take care of each other.
She touched Lydia's shoulder, and a sense of calm flowed through Lydia.
If you learn anything else, let me know.
If you can't get in touch with me, our sheriff, Hank Marrow, can pass on any message.
Okay.
She wasn't used to people rallying around her, much less strangers in a town she had lived in for less than 2 days.
Thank you.
Willa smiled and rubbed her shoulder.
Don't worry, you'll get used to it. You might even like having people who understand at your back.
Lydia raised her eyebrows.
You must have friends in California.
The witches she knew rarely stood up for each other. Too much competition.
I knew a few witches. They all spoke highly of you, especially Pandora.
Lydia stared at her.
My realtor is a witch?
Right, you never met her. She wouldn't have sold an enchanted house to just anyone. Willa studied her.
You did know it's enchanted.
The glamour.
Yeah, just how enchanted was something she'd have to find out. Thank you for taking this on at the last minute. I like a challenge, and I want to help you, Lydia. Remember, you're not alone anymore.
Tears stung her eyes, and she nodded, walking out before she ugly cried all over Willa.
People here knew about her issue. People she hadn't even met yet. She wasn't sure how she felt about that.
She took a shaky breath, blinking back her tears.
A step at a time, she muttered. Let's start by finding some place to eat.
She started walking down the street and smiled at the poster she saw every few feet. It hung in store windows and was also plastered to the side of the bus that trundled by.
Let Dr. McGuire ease all your pains.
A photo of a smiling man in a doctor's coat accompanied the claim. He looked kind and trustworthy. She made a mental note of him and kept walking, drawn in again by the costumed tourists and the groups of shouting, laughing kids. Just like the other streets, this one had fun, whimsically named stores. The hair scare made her smile, and she laughed out loud when she saw kids walking out of ice cream with huge ice cream cones tilting sideways in their hands. On another street, she saw Mummy's Diner, chuckling as she read the tagline out loud. Our food is to die for. That's definitely going on the must-try list. She was still smiling when she turned around and another sign caught her eye. The Gray Wolf was probably the most subdued and normal store name she'd seen so far, but it drew her across the street until she stood in front of the huge picture window. She studied the display. Everything from cute stuffed wolf cubs to huge cauldrons filled the space, all of them sitting on a swath of rich midnight blue velvet. When she spotted the baskets of crystals, she knew she had to go inside and check them out. A family crowded the front of the door, the two small boys arguing with their parents. Lydia stood back and enjoyed the scene, silently siding with the boys. Who wouldn't want a life-sized stuffed wolf for their bed? She saw movement on the other side of the glass front door and wondered if the owner was going to come out and help settle the argument. Her heart skipped at the thought of meeting another supernatural. Would it be this time? A shifter? A witch? She held her breath as the door opened. It looked like she was about to find out.
Harrison had spent the day waiting on the constant influx of customers, happy for the distraction. Now, with sunset coming, the crowds had thinned, and he had too much time to himself, too much time to think. Loud voices just outside pulled him out of his dark thoughts. He headed to the door, a smile tugging at his mouth, when he heard the young male voices begging for their own stuffed wolf. It wasn't the first time his display had prompted such a tearful plea. Determined to remain neutral, even though he already sided with the two boys, he opened the door and promptly tripped over the threshold he had crossed thousands of times. He fell, landing right side first on the sidewalk. His shoulder screamed at the impact, but he was too distracted by the pair of small, red ballet flats in front of him to pay attention.
Are you okay?
The soft, husky voice warned him a second before its owner crouched down. The voice also sounded familiar, which meant he had tumbled in front of a local again. Harrison was mortified and wanted to be anywhere but here at this moment. He started to push himself up, but his right arm finally caught his attention by buckling under him.
"Whoa, I've got you."
Her slim hands gripped his left arm, surprisingly strong as she helped him sit, and leaned him against the brick storefront. "Can I get someone for you?"
"I'm fine," he whispered. He knew he didn't sound fine, far from it, but it might make her go away. He was embarrassed enough without a strange woman witnessing his latest trip and fall.
"At least let me help you inside." He nodded and gathered the courage to look up at her. Everything in him stilled when he met her clear gray eyes. She was the witch from his dream. He was as drawn to her in the clear light of day as he had been in the dream. Her vivid red hair was short now, just brushing her shoulders. He found that he liked it better than the long, wild strands she had fought to keep free of the malevolent plants. Normally, he walked away when he had embarrassed himself in front of someone, but she pulled at him, and he wanted to get closer, touch what looked like soft skin.
"Stop. She is not for you."
She was a witch. That alone made her off limits for him. Witches could see too much, especially when he had so much to hide.
"Her power is gone. She will not see more than you want."
He frowned as his dream started to leak into reality. There were cracks in her power, as there had been in the dream. She managed to hide her loss behind the facade of concern. No, it wasn't a facade. She really was worried about him. "Can you stand on your own?" Harrison nodded and proved it by pushing to his feet, using the wall behind him as a support. The arguing family had moved on after his spectacular tumble, obviously embarrassed for him. She didn't seem the least bit embarrassed. Instead, all he sensed from her, all he saw, was concern, and maybe a little amusement in those beautiful eyes. He found that he didn't mind that amusement, not from her. Once he was on his feet, she wrapped one arm around his waist and helped him over the offending threshold. He pointed to an upholstered chair just inside the door, letting her lead him to it and help him settle.
"Can you lock up for me?" he asked.
He sounded almost normal this time.
"I believe I am done for the day."
"Sure." She locked the door and flipped the sign over to closed. "Can I get you some water? Aspirin? That looked like a nasty fall."
"Just another day for me."
He actually felt himself smile when he said that. He never smiled or joked about his clumsiness. It was an affliction that he had dealt with his entire life. But with this woman, he didn't feel embarrassed or inadequate. For the first time, he felt normal.
"My name is Harrison Gray."
"Lydia. Lydia Reston. I bought the enchanted house at the end of Cauldron Lane." Part of him wasn't surprised that she lived in Nocturne Falls. He wanted to deny what was happening between them, that she only looked like the woman he had seen in his dream. But he knew it was her, like he knew the beat of his own heart. She held out her hand, and he surprised himself by taking it. Heat roared up his arm at the contact, his heart pounding so hard he was surprised the sound didn't echo off the walls. She stared at him, her clear gray eyes wide, then lowered her gaze to their clasped hands. He knew she had felt the same shock of heat.
Oh, my.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
She burst out laughing, and to his disappointment, she freed her hand. "Are you sure you're okay?"
"Fine. Would you have dinner with me?"
The words burst out before he could stop them, and he waited, trying not to cringe for her rejection. She surprised him again. "I'd like that. This is actually my first full day in town. so I wouldn't even know where to begin to look for food, except Mummy's Diner. Harrison schooled his face when she mentioned the one place he refused to eat. The 50s throwback decor discouraged his appetite. He knew that she would probably like Howler's, the local bar, but he shied away from big crowds. The more people, the clumsier he got. For the second time, his words jumped out before he could stop them. "We can have a picnic here." Her radiant smile made his heart pound faster. "Sounds like fun."
All right. There is a deli just down the street. We can assemble the picnic there, if that's all right with you.
"Harry," she said, her voice gentle, "you don't have to ask my permission."
"Right."
He rubbed his forehead, the throbbing in his right shoulder finally breaking through his instant and heated attraction to the beautiful woman in front of him.
"I will take that water and aspirin. No, I can get it myself. It will be faster than trying to direct you to it."
He pushed himself out of the chair and tried not to limp as he crossed the shop, headed for the small back room. With every step, he expected Lydia to change her mind, to apologize and run in the opposite direction. It was the normal reaction when women found out just how clumsy he really was. Instead, when he glanced over his shoulder, he found her wandering around the shop, smiling as she studied his shelves. Her rich, bright red hair glowed under the lights, almost as beautiful as the face it framed. She called him Harry. No one had called him that name. Not since his mom. He cut off that line of thought before grief could set in. By the time he quickly swallowed a handful of aspirin and returned to the front of the shop, Lydia was waiting for him by the door. "Are you ready?" she asked. "I'm beyond starving."
"Yes, of course."
He headed to her, his right knee still aching from impact with the sidewalk. When he noticed her looking down at his leg, a frown on her face, he smiled. At least he hoped it looked like a smile. That was something he didn't do often, not with women.
"It's all right. I'm a fast healer."
"Oh," she said, looking up at him. She was short, the top of her head not even reaching his shoulders. But the sheer power of her presence, of her effect on him, made her seem larger than life. "Are you a shifter?"
Old grief squeezed his heart. She might as well know the truth now, so she could leave him before he fell any deeper. "I was."
To his shock, instead of walking away, she moved to him and laid her hand over his aching heart. "I am so sorry, Harry. If you ever want to talk about it, well, I'd be happy to lend an ear." She smiled up at him, and his defense crumbled. Before he could talk himself out of it or second guess, he cradled her cheek and kissed her. Lydia's heart stopped the second Harry kissed her. There was heat, so much heat. She was afraid she'd burn up from the inside out. She swayed toward him and wrapped both arms around his waist to steady herself. With a low growl, he pinned her against the nearest wall and deepened the kiss. She couldn't move, couldn't think. All she could do was feel. His lips on her, his lean, muscled body pressed against her, his heat everywhere. When he finally freed her lips, she took in a shaky breath, her knees like rubber. "Wow," she whispered.
I hope I didn't offend you."
"Hardly." She smiled and reached up to trace the line of his jaw. He had such a beautiful, angular face. The lines around his mouth and the deep indent between his brows physicalized the pain she felt from him. Surprised, yes. Offended, never. Her finger brushed his full, soft bottom lip, and she found herself wanting to kiss him again, to feel the flare of heat she had never felt with another man. Something about him seemed familiar, and it tugged at her, Who are you, Harry?
A broken man, he whispered.
The raw grief in his voice had Lydia tightening her grip. Whatever had happened to him had left a wound so deep that even time still hadn't healed it. Not from where I'm standing. Again, she felt a flare of surprise from him. Didn't women fall all over him? He was beyond gorgeous. But he was also unsure of himself around her, like a teenaged boy with his first girlfriend. Because he was clumsy? Or because of whatever happened to him? When he had answered her question about being a shifter with past tense, she'd wanted to interrogate him. No, she'd wanted to hold him, tell him that she understood. And that was the last reaction she expected, after running across the country to escape her boyfriend. Men were supposed to be off-limits, persona non grata, not a tall, gorgeous hunk of wounded mail, with dark, tousled, sun-streaked hair, and golden brown eyes that seemed to look straight into her soul. Lydia cleared her throat and stepped back, putting space between them. She was afraid that if she didn't, she'd be tempted to find out what was hiding under his thick sweater and baggy trousers. Ready for that picnic? She fought to keep her tone light, to pull Harry out of the funk she could see him falling into. She understood all too well.
I don't...
He met her eyes, his brows drawing together.
You still want to do this?
Duh. His shout of laughter warmed her in a different way.
You are constantly a surprise, Miss Reston.
And you are good company, Sir Harry. She bowed, smiling at his deep chuckle. Is the aspirin kicking in? He nodded, his smile fading. Lydia desperately wanted to bring it back. She had a feeling he didn't smile often. He waved to the door.
Ready?
Her stomach growled before she could answer, loudly. That would be a yes. Harry shook his head, but she could see another smile threatening. He unlocked the front door and opened it, waiting for her.
Shall we?
She walked outside and turned quickly, in case he tripped again, but he lifted his feet as he stepped over the threshold, like he was avoiding a deep puddle. She found it endearing and a little heartbreaking. How long had he been prone to clumsiness? Did it make him the quiet, careful man he was now? Lydia wanted to get to know him, and not only because he made her feel like she was going to burst into flame every time he kissed her. A blush spread across her pale, redhead's skin, her own personal curse. Even the least bit of exertion or emotion showed on her face. More than one friend had been afraid she was on the verge of heat stroke after a vigorous walk. She kept her head down as they walked, until the blush faded. One thing she did miss about her hair was the ability to hide her face. Now, she really had to swing what was left of it forward, which drew more attention than flushed cheeks. Get over yourself, Lydia, and enjoy his company. After tonight, he may run in the other direction. He wasn't the only one who had been broken. Chapter 4. It was too good to be true. Harrison, walking with a beautiful woman through the center of town. Locals stared at them, probably wondering if she was that desperate for company.
Stop it. She had plenty of chances to walk away, and she didn't.
He still couldn't get over the fact that she was at his side by choice. What is that? Lydia's voice jerked him back to the moment. He followed her arm to the spectacle across the street. One of the local vampires was out, playing vampire of the day and showing off for the tourists.
Part of the show that is Nocturne Falls.
She leaned in and whispered, "Is he a real vampire?" Harrison nodded, figuring that since she was a supernatural, she knew the truth behind the town. Pandora would have vetted her before selling her an enchanted house. He took a chance and laid his hand on the small of her back.
She surprised him again by smiling up at him and moving closer. They finally reached the deli at the end of the block, and he opened the door, happy to get away from the attention. The owner, Sally Markham, smiled at him from behind the counter.
"Harrison, good to see you. And who is your lovely companion?"
Lydia stepped forward before Harrison could open his mouth to introduce her.
"Hi, I'm Lydia. I just moved into the house
at the end of Cauldron Lane."
Sally took her hand, studying Lydia as she shook it.
"I heard."
"Wow." Smiling, Lydia shook her head. "I'll have to get used to the small town grapevine.
It's huge here."
Sally's smile faded.
"Your power is..."
"We're here for a picnic," Harrison said.
He knew interrupting was rude, but he didn't think Lydia wanted to discuss her issue with someone she just met, though he fit into that category as well. But he didn't feel like he'd just met her. To the contrary, her presence had already changed everything, and he couldn't imagine not having her in his life, at his side.
"Stop dreaming, fool. She is not for you."
He frowned at the voice in his mind.
"Let her decide."
The connection between them was real. He may have overblown everything else about their meeting, but that was true. It was solid, and something he could hold on to. Sally released Lydia's hand, raising one eyebrow at him.
"Okay, then. Let's see what we can put together for you. Lydia, are you one of those California veggie-only eaters?"
"Heck no. Carnivore all the way. I love my meat."
Harrison fell a little deeper with her words. Who was he kidding? Every second he spent with Lydia pulled him deeper, closer to the inevitable heartache.
With an effort that hurt, he put space between them, under the pretense of checking the long, well-stocked deli case.
He felt Lydia's glance and a flare of confusion. No, he was projecting. There was no possible way he was connecting to her emotions already. They had just met, and he had lost the ability to bond, along with everything else that made him a shifter.
"Harry?"
Lydia's quiet voice jerked him out of his dark thoughts.
"Where did you go?"
Sally's eyebrows nearly disappeared into her blonde bangs.
"Harry, is it? How long have you known each other?"
Lydia answered before Harrison could gather his thoughts.
"Just this afternoon, he fell at my feet."
She smiled like it was a fond memory.
"Literally."
Her smile faded as she turned to him.
"I never asked if it was okay to call you Harry."
"I like it," he said, his voice a little too raw.
"Good." Harrison sounded a little stuffy.
She took his hand, twining their fingers together.
"I don't think of you as stuffy. Not after that first kiss,"
she whispered, winking at him. He swallowed, staring down at their joined hands. How was he going to tell her? Kissing had been as far as he had gone with any woman. She would laugh at his inexperience, and he wouldn't blame her for walking away. Not being able to shift was already a huge strike against him. How would she feel when she learned his biggest secret?
Her voice drew him back to the moment. So warm, so lively as she joked with Sally, putting together enough food for several hungry people.
She had also kept her grip on his hand. It felt right. She felt right, standing at his side, her arm brushing his, when she leaned in to take a closer look at a nice chunk of dill-studded Havarti. Harrison swallowed and eased his hand out of hers, ignoring her questioning look as he moved away from her. It was too much. Her unquestioning acceptance, her kindness, the warm, heady scent that belonged only to her. He had to leave now, before she completely broke him. He strode to the door and shoved it open, flinching when it slammed against the outside wall.
"Harry!"
Lydia's voice followed him out. He hunched his shoulders and kept going, crossing the street to lose himself in the crowd outside Delaney's Delectables. It didn't work. Her hand caught his wrist before he could hide.
"What is it?" Her quiet question took him by surprise. "Talk to me, Harry, please." He nodded and let her lead him to the narrow side street. She waited until the darkness engulfed him before she halted, hands on her hips. His night vision hadn't been taken from him, and he could see the spark of anger in her eyes.
"Lydia."
"Why did you leave? The truth, Harry." He swallowed, staring at his feet.
"I wanted to do it first."
"Do what first?" She sounded like she already knew the answer, but her silence told him that she wanted him to say it.
"Leave."
"Wow. I didn't think a single word could be so insulting." She crowded him until he trapped himself against the side of the building. "Listen up, Harrison Gray, because I'm only going to say this once. I'm attracted to you. No, I'm drawn to you. And that so wasn't in my plan. I know you feel it too, so don't even try denying." He stared at her, so turned on by her temper and the glow around her as she lectured him, that he wanted to haul her into his arms and kiss her until they couldn't see straight. "Are you listening?"
"Yes."
He knew he sounded distracted, but he couldn't stop looking at her full lips, couldn't stop his reaction to her scent. She smelled like wildflowers and sunshine. Before he realized what he was doing, he had slipped his arm around her waist and pulled her in, his nose pressed into her bright hair.
"You smell beautiful."
"I smell what?" Her voice was muffled against his chest, but he could hear the tremble that edged it. "Harry, what's happening?"
"I don't know." The admission that he had seen her in a dream would never leave his lips. She would think he was insane and run away from him as fast as she could. He let out a sigh and met her eyes. "Because of my past, I shy away from any kind of involvement. It has never ended well. But you, Lydia."
He cradled her cheek, marveling at her silky skin.
"You didn't laugh or make me feel like a bumbling idiot. I haven't felt awkward around you, even after my spectacular tumble."
A smile tugged at her lips. "It was impressive." Warmth spread through him.
"I really want to kiss you, Lydia."
She smiled up at him. "I really want you to, Harry." She was still smiling when he captured her lips. The wild, almost primal kiss took Lydia by surprise. She gasped, which had Harry deepening the kiss. Another gasp escaped her when he picked her up and trapped her between his lean, muscled body and the brick wall. All she could do was hold on to him and let herself fall into the heat. He had been so gentle with her up to this point, like he was afraid of scaring her away. That wouldn't happen. Not now. This self-effacing, clumsy, charming man had stolen her vulnerable heart. His constant, low growls had her wanting to climb him. She settled for sliding her hands under his sweater, up the hard, defined muscles of his back. He felt so good, and the way he pressed into her told her that he was just as affected. Too soon, he ended the kiss, panting as he stared at her.
"Lydia."
"Don't stop, Harry." He swallowed and laid his forehead against hers.
"I want this. I want you, my beautiful Lydia, more than I've wanted any woman. But..."
"You're married." She smiled at his snort. "Celibate? Waiting until marriage? A virgin?" She had been kidding with the last one, but the way he stiffened told her she'd hit the nail directly. "Harry, you're..." "No, not the way you kiss." He let out a sigh and started to lower her to the ground. She wrapped her legs around his waist and held on.
"Lydia..."
"Sorry, not letting you go." "It's too late, Harry," she whispered. "I'm already attached."
"I don't know what to do beyond kissing."
His whispered admission threatened to break her heart. She slid her hand into his thick, sun-streaked hair. I think we can figure it out.
He swallowed, his voice strangled when he finally spoke.
You're not hungry?
Oh, I am. She brushed his lips with hers, whispering, just not for food.
He let out a curse right before he captured her lips.
She moaned, dug her free hand into his left shoulder, and let him take the lead. He started rocking against her, the kiss turning hot and almost desperate. If she didn't stop him soon, his first time would end up being in a dark street. A throat clearing stilled them both. Harry lifted his head, already retreating from Lydia, even though he still held her.
Sally?
He nearly growled her name, the muscles under Lydia's hand tense.
What is it?
Sorry for interrupting.
She didn't look the least bit sorry. Instead, she looked intrigued was the only word Lydia could come up with for her expression as she studied Harry.
Hank just called. There's been a break-in at your shop.
Thank you. I'll head over there now.
Lydia didn't miss the I instead of we.
I'll let him know.
She gave Lydia a long, thoughtful look before she left. Harry?
He lowered her to the ground, not meeting her eyes.
I need to get back.
I'll go with.
There is no need.
His stiff, formal tone made her want to smack him. There's every need. She laid her hand on his arm, not surprised when he pulled free and stepped back, out of reach. You don't need to face everything alone, Harry.
And you do not want to be burdened with my life, Lydia.
That's my decision.
No!
The anger that radiated from him startled her into retreating.
I will not have you harmed by my past or my present. Thank you for your care, Miss Reston. I hope you enjoy your time in Nocturne Falls.
He turned around and stalked away from her before she could recover enough to shout at him.
Not likely, Shifter, she muttered. She knew she was flirting with potential disaster, but she followed him anyway. If there was anyone who shouldn't be alone, it was Harrison Gray.
Chapter 5. The front window of the Gray Wolf had been smashed in. Again. Harrison stopped in front of it, his shoulders slumped, not even caring if anything had been stolen. He already knew who had destroyed the window. His longtime rival hadn't left him alone, even after taking away everything. Hank Merrow, the local sheriff, and his second cousin, moved to his side.
You know who did this?
Harrison nodded.
Jared.
Hank shook his head.
That boy won't ever let go, will he?
He laid one hand on Harrison's right shoulder. Hank was one of the few shifters who ever touched him. It wasn't as if his inability to shift was contagious.
Did you want to press charges?
Harrison opened his mouth to say no, and a familiar voice answered for him.
Hell yes, he's pressing charges!
Lydia appeared at his side, anger snapping in her clear gray eyes.
Lydia Reston!
She held out her hand, and Hank fought a smile as he shook it.
This isn't the first time, is it?
She looked from Hank to him, her eyebrow raised.
I didn't think so. You can't let him get away with this, Harry. Not this time.
Hank raised his eyebrows.
Harry?
Why does everyone keep asking that?
Lydia laid her hands on her hips. Heaven help him, she looked magnificent, anger sparkling around her.
You'd think no one had ever called him that.
No one has, Hank said, his voice quiet. Not since his mother passed.
Lydia's eyes widened, and she turned to Harrison. I'm so sorry. Why didn't you tell me?
I liked it, he said. I missed hearing it.
She took his hand, and he felt whole again. We're talking, seriously talking, after. His heart pounded, hard and fast, but he nodded,
squeezing her hand. He had tried to walk away from her, given her every chance to accept the distance he tried to put between them. Instead, she had followed him. Hank cleared his throat, amusement in his eyes.
I'll take your statement in the morning, Harrison. Let Jared spend one last night thinking he got away with vandalism.
He rubbed his hands together.
I must admit, I'm looking forward to hauling his sorry carcass into the station. I already called over to the hardware store, and someone will be heading out with plywood to cover the window for the night.
Thank you.
Anytime. Pleasure to meet you, Lydia.
After nodding to her, Hank strode to his car, leaving them on the glass-covered sidewalk. Harrison realized that they had been in the side street for longer than he thought. The streets had all but emptied out. Tourists headed back to their rooms or to one of the many local restaurants for dinner. Dinner. He had completely forgotten about their picnic.
Lydia.
Don't walk away from me again, Harry. She looked up at him, and he saw the glitter of tears before she blinked them away.
I don't know what's happening between us, but I am not ready to let it go.
Neither am I, he whispered. Not caring what anyone who could see them thought, he gathered her into his arms and buried his face in her hair. I never want to hurt you, Lydia, but I'm afraid I will.
She let out a sigh and wrapped her arms around his waist. That's a risk we're both taking, Harry. I left California because of a nasty breakup. You were not in my plans for a new man-free life.
He chuckled, delighted by her refreshing honesty. You could view it this way. I am technically not a man.
Aren't you funny? She leaned back, meeting his eyes. Feed me, Harry, and we'll have that talk.
Lydia.
His heart started pounding again. Every time he had gotten to this point where he told a woman about his past, it had been the beginning of the end.
I don't think.
Then don't think. We've both been hurt. Let's rescue each other. He kissed her forehead and pulled her in. Fortune had been smiling on him when she tripped him. Falling into Lydia Reston's life had changed his, for good. There may be pain ahead for him, but he knew, right now, that it was worth the price. The woman in his arms was worth any price he had to pay. A quick call to Sally solved the dinner dilemma. Despite Harrison deserting Lydia in the deli, Sally had finished putting together their picnic and charged him a premium for it. He managed not to flinch when he saw the amount on the receipt because he knew it was worth the cost. Once Sally left, after a short but ear-blistering lecture, he and Lydia waited in the shop for the delivery from the hardware store. Lydia spent the time exploring the huge picnic basket.
Whoa! This is some spread, Harry. I hope she didn't charge you too much for the special delivery.
Enough.
She leaned over and kissed his cheek. Thank you. I didn't expect this kind of welcome. Or you, to be honest.
The feeling is mutual.
He had no idea when he woke this morning that he would meet the woman who had haunted his dream. A woman who would become his. For good. His need to kiss her again was interrupted by the arrival of the plywood. After an endless hour, Harrison thanked the men and handed them the check, along with a tip, before he ushered them out. Finally, he was alone with Lydia. His heart pounded again as he led her up to his apartment over the shop. Another first. No woman had ever stepped over this threshold. His few attempts at dating had always ended up at the woman's place. He had been reluctant to allow anyone access to his only retreat from the world. Watching Lydia wander around his apartment left him feeling exposed and vulnerable. He wanted her to like it. No, he wanted her to love it. Every piece of handmade furniture, every photograph he had taken and carefully framed, every item scattered across the tables reflected him. She stopped in front of his favorite image, a blow-up
of the waterfall outside town just before sunset. Light sparkled off the surface of the pool, streaked down the waterfall, almost alive. "Harry, this is incredible." She looked over at him. "Did you take it?" He nodded, swallowing. "You have an eye for composition. It just pulls me in, and I want to dive into that water. Is this the famous waterfall, the one Nocturne Falls is named after?"
"Yes." He cleared his throat, his chest tight. "You like it?"
She walked over to him and spread her hand over his pounding heart. "I'm a hobby photographer, but I have friends in California who are in some of the most prestigious galleries in the country. You blow them all away."
He silently cursed the flush heating his cheeks. "I wait until the moment the image is right."
"It's an instinct not many photographers have." She held out her hand. "Come here." He took her hand, not sure what to expect next. Lydia leaned into him, still studying the photo, until her stomach growled. She let out a laugh and straightened. "Let's eat." Harrison let her lead him to the open space in front of the sofa, watched her take the wool blanket off the back of his leather armchair and spread it over the carpet. She waved him off when he moved to the basket, so he settled on the blanket and enjoyed the view as she unpacked their picnic. When she joined him, loaded with containers of food, he stood and helped her spread it out on the blanket. "Thanks," she said, smiling at him. He wanted to kiss her, feel that smile against his lips. Lord, he had gone far beyond the point of no return.
"Harry?"
"Here." He covered his laps by grabbing the closest container and opening it. Sally's famous Italian pasta salad. The enticing aroma of olive oil, peppers, and spices filled his nostrils, and his own stomach grumbled, ready for food. "I'll get some plates and silverware."
"No need."
Lydia grabbed the basket and set it in the middle of the blanket.
"Sally provided for us, along with..."
She grinned and pulled out a bottle.
"Non-alcoholic sparkling cider, my favorite."
Bless Sally for remembering his sensitivity to alcohol. "Are you certain? I can send out for beer or wine."
"I may be a carnivore, but alcohol of any kind has never been my drink of choice."
She waved the heavy green bottle. "This is usually reserved for special occasions, like now." She handed him the bottle and pulled two plastic champagne flutes out of the basket. Trust Sally to turn a simple picnic into a romantic interlude. He would have to thank her personally. While Lydia poured them each a glass of the bubbly apple cider, Harrison started opening containers and loading each plate with a little of everything. He traded her glass for a plate and smiled when she eyed the full plate.
"I don't know where to start first. It all looks so appetizing."
She dug her fork into the potato salad and tasted it, her eyes closing as she chewed.
"This is incredible."
Harrison could have watched her all night. Instead, he shook himself and started eating. Hunger eclipsed desire for the moment, and he devoured what was on his plate, going for seconds before she had even finished half of hers. Sally also knew his appetite and had packed large portions. Even though he couldn't shift, his metabolism was as fast and ravenous as any shifter. They enjoyed the meal together, the only sounds the scraping of forks against the plates, and Lydia's occasional exclamation at a new taste. Finally, she put down her plate and stretched out on the blanket, rubbing her stomach.
"I'm beyond stuffed, but I don't regret a single bite."
Harrison stilled the second she lay down. Her shirt had hiked up, showing a strip of smooth, flat stomach. He swallowed, wanting to touch her skin, taste it, find out if it was as silky and smooth as the rest of her.
"Harry?"
Her voice jerked him out of his fantasy. She sounded amused, like she knew what he was thinking.
"Okay?"
"Good. Tired."
"It's been a long day for you, hasn't it? and it didn't end well. She sat and took his hand, spreading his fingers over her thigh. I'm sorry about the window. Whoever did that needs to be accountable. You know that.
I do.
He sighed, not wanting the inevitable confrontation. But she was right. Jared had crossed the line one time too many.
I'll press charges in the morning. I suppose it's time for our talk.
She laughed. Don't make it sound like punishment. I just want to get to know you better. Tell me as much as you want. I'm sure you know all about me. He shook his head. The Nocturne Falls grapevine had already started working.
I'm afraid I'm not in the loop.
A lone wolf?
Something like that.
He had almost called his shop that, and changed his mind when he thought it might be a little too self-indulgent.
I tend to keep myself apart because of my past.
Can I ask you a question? You don't have to answer if you're uncomfortable.
All right.
He braced himself for what he figured would be an intensely personal question, one he wasn't sure he could answer. Once again, she surprised him. Why did you kiss me? Lydia bit back a smile when Harry blinked at her.
What?
I know you heard me, Harry. A blush stained his cheeks, and she wanted to kiss him again. The rest of their lives sounded like it might be long enough. He was simply the most kissable man she'd ever met.
I couldn't help myself.
Good.
He raised his eyebrows. Good?
Yeah, because I couldn't help myself either. You were just so kissable. He surprised her by laughing.
I've never been described quite that way.
Lydia took a chance and scooted around until she could lay her head on his thigh. Instead of retreating, he relaxed, lowering himself to his side. She turned her head so she could see him. Tell me how you grew up. It must have been different from the other shifters, since you...
I mean, it's all right. He sighed, tracing the edge of the blanket as he continued. I was sent away after. I grew up in a prep school in upstate New York, then attended Cambridge.
That explains your cultured speech. A smile tugged at his lips.
Most around here call me a snob. Too many years around money and kids who came from money.
He stared past her, his voice lowering to a raw whisper.
I returned home for my mom's funeral.
Lydia touched his hand. I'm so sorry, Harry.
She had been sick when I left for Cambridge. I tried to come home when I graduated, but Jared and his friends made my life a living hell.
He's the one who hurt you?
Harry nodded. I was about to be given a place in the family business, one Jared coveted. He ambushed me the first night of the full moon and stabbed me in the shoulder with a silver blade.
He rubbed his right shoulder, flinching at the contact.
Tomorrow is the anniversary of my injury. It always seems to ache more around this time.
She sat and knelt next to him. It never healed?
I spent most of the night with the blade in my shoulder. My father found me just after the moon set. I couldn't prove Jared had been the one to attack me, especially when his cohorts gave him an alibi that couldn't be broken.
I have a crystal at home, one that might help.
He was shaking his head before she finished. They don't work. I assume you saw the crystals downstairs. I've tried them all.
What about one charmed by an earth witch? Lydia cradled his cheek, enjoying the feel of his stubble under her fingers. It darkened his jaw, giving him a rugged look, a far cry from the almost uptight man she had met earlier. This Harry looked like a shifter. I have a few of them that I charmed before. They couldn't hurt, could they? She wasn't up on shifter lore, especially since she hadn't met one until yesterday. Until Harry.
I suppose. He didn't sound convinced. The pendant Willa made for me did nothing but make me more aware of the waxing moon.
He pulled a beautiful bronze pendant out from under his sweater, a wolf's head, with what looked like amber eyes, similar to the man who wore it.
I am far beyond any healing, Lydia.
He pushed to his feet and started cleaning up the remains of their picnic. She took his actions as a hint that the evening was over.
I should go, she said.
She stood, picked up the plates and glasses, and carried them over to the tall counter between the living room and the kitchen.
Thank you for a delicious...
Lydia.
He stepped to her, his heat, his scent, his presence all threatening to sway her. But he'd made himself perfectly clear it was time to leave. Good night, Harrison. She headed for the door, forcing herself not to run. It wasn't until she reached the bottom of the stairs that she remembered they led into the store, and he would have to lock up behind her when she left. With a sigh, she turned around, meeting Harry halfway up the stairs.
I'll let you out, he said, looking everywhere but at her.
Thanks.
She pressed against the wall and let him pass, trying not to make contact. Any touch, even a brush of his arm, might break her flimsy resolve. He kept going, and she followed him, across the store and into the small but organized back room, standing out of reach as he punched in a security code.
I'm sorry, he muttered. You were only offering help, and I was inexcusably rude.
It's okay. I touched a sore point, which was just as rude.
He turned, a smile tugging at his lips. Are we going to argue about who was the rudest?
I'd rather kiss you.
She clapped one hand over her mouth, appalled. I didn't...
I hope you did.
He gently pulled her hand down, then hauled her up against his chest.
I find you as kissable, Lydia Reston.
He proved it by kissing her until she couldn't think straight. She held on, wanting him, but terrified of that wanting. The last thing she needed was a complicated, mercurial man in her life. Ned had been enough to last a lifetime. Her body didn't listen. Wrapping around Harry as he took the kiss to another level, need won out over logic, and she pressed herself closer, moaning when he trapped her between his hot, muscled body and the nearest wall. Endless minutes later, he came up for air, kissing his way to her earlobe.
Harry.
She sounded desperate, and she was. Desperate to feel his lips on hers again. Desperate for more, so much more.
Harry. Oh, yes, right there. That's good,
she muttered, sighing as he nuzzled her throat.
I should go.
Stay, he whispered, lifting his head. You calm me, Lydia, and I have not felt that kind of peace for far too long.
Harry.
She leaned in and brushed her lips against his.
I want to stay, so much. But I'm still trying to find my balance. I didn't expect this. I didn't expect you. I need time.
I understand.
He kissed her one last time, hot and far too short, and set her on her feet.
I will wait for you to make the next move.
He opened the door, stepping aside to let her out.
You know where to find me, if you're ready.
Lydia nodded, her gaze on the alley beyond the door. She was afraid that if she looked into his gold-brown eyes again, her resolve would crumble. He had enough on his plate without adding her issues to it. They would both be better off if she walked out and let this be a fond memory.
Goodbye, Harry.
Before she could take back her words, she walked out the door and away from the man she was already half in love with. Chapter 6. Lydia woke late the next morning, with Max sprawled across her stomach. She smiled at him, smoothing her hand over his thick, silky fur.
Miss me, did you?
He meowed, then crawled up to the pillow next to her, butting her chin with his nose.
I know. It's a strange place we moved to, isn't it? A gargoyle living next door, a fae running the local jewelry store, and a wounded man who threatened to steal her still raw heart. I think I'll do some unpacking and an inventory of what we'll need, starting with fresh food for both of us. Anything to keep her mind off one hairy gray. Come on, lazy bones, she poked Max. Time to get this day started. He answered her with a muffled yowl, then promptly rolled over. Lydia smiled and climbed out of the big bed. The air was cold, and she rubbed her arms, heading for the thermostat in the hall. January was colder here than she expected. She adjusted the temperature, promising herself a few new wardrobe items if she finished her to-do list today. First on that list, breakfast. Fresh tuna, Max, if you can manage to drag yourself out of bed. She smiled when she heard feline feet hit the floor and headed downstairs. Her robe would still be in her suitcase, along with most of her pitifully small wardrobe. She had given up what had been stored at Ned's, not wanting to face him again. Buying new clothes where she planned to live had seemed like a better plan. Now she was afraid she might run into Harry before she was ready to see him. Get over yourself, Lydia. She shook her head and started pulling her wrinkled clothes out of the suitcase. You can't hibernate, especially with a cat with a bottomless pit for a stomach and no food in the house. After hanging up her few clothes, she made a quick list of what she might need, then headed back down to the kitchen and made another longer list. When Max showed himself, she opened one of the cans of tuna she had brought with her, setting the can in a ceramic bowl she found in one of the cupboards. To her surprise, there was a complete set of dishes and a nice assortment of silverware. She would wash it all before she used it. Who knew how long everything had been sitting here, or how well all of it had been cleaned before? Lydia was the furthest from a germaphobe, unlike most of her friends, but she preferred to be cautious. What looked like a brand new dishwasher, installed next to the deep porcelain sink, looked like it would hold everything. She could take care of washing the lot when she returned, and bring enough takeout home to last until she had clean dishes. Okay, handsome. I'm going to get dressed, then head out and gather some supplies. Watch over the house, or take a nap. She leaned down to scratch behind his ear. I know you'll take the nap. Fortunately, we have some nice, solid locks. She ran up the stairs, energized, and ready to get things done. It was time to really explore her new home and figure out her place in a town full of supernaturals. Lydia stopped at the first clothing store she found, a huge sales sign drawing her in. She found enough sweaters to last her the next month, along with several pairs of pants, a fun pair of ankle boots, and a warm coat. The sales girl helped her put together an outfit more suitable for the weather than what she had walked in wearing, and bagged up the rest, promising to send it to her house by the end of the day. The advantage of living in a small town. Lydia smiled and thanked her before she walked out. Next up, a grocery store. If she was going to hibernate, she needed to lay in a supply of food for her and Max. Her phone brought up the local Shop and Save, which was in walking distance and also delivered. Perfect. She went over her list as she walked there and made quick work of it with an aisle map provided by the friendly clerk at the customer service booth. After arranging for the delivery, she walked out, feeling another small weight lift off her shoulders. She could do this. She could live her life on her terms without relying on a man, no matter what her mom had spent years drumming into her. The bar she had walked past earlier came into view. Howlers. She remembered Willa mentioning it and figured she could get a takeout meal there, or at least order something easy to wrap up. She pushed the door open and walked into the dim interior. It was busier than she thought. A quick glance at her phone told her that it was after 3. Later than she thought. No wonder her stomach was growling at her. She made her way through the crowd standing in front of the bar, taking off her coat, and waved to the pretty woman at the end. The woman headed over to her,
dark auburn hair bouncing on her shoulders.
"Welcome to Howlers. You're the one who bought the spooky house, aren't you? Down at the end of Cauldron Lane."
"That's me. Can I order something to go?"
"Sure can."
She wiped off her hand and held it out to Lydia.
"Bridget, I'm the owner, so if you ever need anything, just ask for me. I can deliver, too, if you ever need it. You're close enough not to be a hassle."
She winked at Lydia and handed her a menu.
"Take your time, and wave when you're ready to order."
"Thanks." Lydia took off her coat as she studied the menu, trying to decide between two burgers, when she felt someone watching her. Swallowing, she glanced over the top of the menu and jerked in surprise at the sight of the man approaching her. He swaggered, his shoulder-length brown hair tousled, framing an angular, good-looking face. She wouldn't have been concerned, except for the gleam in his brown eyes, the gleam of a predator spotting his prey. She'd seen that look before, more times than she could count. Southern California had been crowded with predators of one kind or another. She had found out too late that Ned had been one, disguised as a whiny nerd. The last thing she needed was another man sniffing at her. She turned back to the bar and waved at Bridget.
"Can I get both of these burgers and have them delivered?"
"Sure thing."
Bridget frowned at her.
"You okay?"
"Fine, I just forgot an appointment."
"I'll send them your way and start a tab. You pay it off weekly."
"That will work. Thank you."
Lydia handed her the menu and started pushing through the larger crowd, headed in the opposite direction of the man. She stopped in her tracks when she pushed free of the crowd and found him in front of her.
"Hello, Red."
He smiled, scanning her from head to toe.
"I haven't seen you around. How about a drink with the most eligible bachelor in Nocturne Falls?"
The three men behind him laughed, elbowing each other.
Heaven help her, he wasn't alone.
"Thank you for the offer, but I'm on my way out."
The smile disappeared, revealing the belligerent man she sensed underneath the pleasant facade.
"You're refusing me?"
"I..." "Don't let him intimidate you, Lydia. As I said, I'm leaving. I don't know you, and since I'm new here, I would like to know who you are before I accept your invitation."
Rage flared in his eyes. "You little bit—"
"Jared!"
Bridget appeared, her eyes glowing gold.
"Get out of my bar, now!"
He backed down, almost whining.
"Bridget?"
"No one harasses my patrons. Now get out, and don't bother coming back."
She bared her teeth, and Lydia swore her canines had elongated. By the time she blinked, they were normal again, winking in the light.
"Take your lackeys with you."
Jared snarled at her.
"You regret this."
"I doubt it."
Bridget draped an arm over Lydia's shoulders, waiting with her until Jared and his followers left.
"Are you okay? Jared's an ass, but his father's reputation gets him pretty much anywhere he wants to go."
"Fine, thanks. The prowlers in California would eat him for lunch."
Bridget laughed.
"I'd like to see that. Jared could use a good swift kick to the... well, a good swift kick."
She winked at Lydia and reached behind her, handing over a brown bag that smelled heavenly.
"I had them rush your order as soon as I saw Jared target you."
Her smile faded.
"If he harasses you in any way, call my brother Hank."
"You're the sheriff's sister?"
"Yeah."
She smiled.
"Threatening belligerent customers with him comes in handy."
Her humor faded.
"Don't be afraid to call him, Lydia. Jared has a reputation, and you're just his type."
"Thanks again."
"Come back soon, I'd like to get to know you."
She smiled.
"Same here."
Hugging the bag, she waved to Bridget and made her way to the door. The second she stepped out, she knew she'd made a mistake. Jared had waited for her. Chapter 7. After ringing up his last customers, Harrison escorted them to the door and locked it behind them, letting out a sigh.
It had been a long day, and thankfully for him, a busy one. He had thought of Lydia in the few free moments between customers, his heart aching more every time he replayed their last minutes together.
I should have kept her with me, or gone with her.
He knew the moment she had walked out his back door that he had lost her, possibly for good. She was still too raw from her recent breakup, and he had pushed too hard. If he could have one more chance, he would apologize, give her as much space as she needed, as long as he could see her again, have the opportunity to show her that he would not be the burden she thought. Fear scraped across his skin.
Lydia's fear. No.
He didn't know how he could sense her, but he knew she was in trouble. He refused to allow her to face it alone.
I'm coming, Lydia.
He ran through the back room and out the back door, stopping only long enough to lock it.
I'm coming.
Lydia stepped away from the door, not wanting to trap herself against the building behind her. Fury still radiated from Jared. He stalked forward, trying to crowd her. She sidestepped him and backed into the parking lot.
You shouldn't have refused me. Not in front of so many people. I have a reputation to protect.
He stepped forward, and she backed away, straight into one of his friends. Strong hands gripped her arms, forcing her to drop the bag and her new coat.
You embarrassed me in there, Red, and it's time to teach you a lesson.
Lydia knew better than to struggle. It would only make things worse for her. She had seen the same ugly gleam in Ned's eyes when she had disagreed with him. You're right, she said, her voice as calm and even as she could make it. I was wrong to treat you like that. How can I make it up to you? Jared looked surprised, but he recovered quickly, a grin spreading across his face. It scared her more than his temper.
We can start with a kiss, Red, and see where that takes us.
She knew all too well, and she wasn't going to be a victim, not this time. Jared stopped in front of her, his gaze like a violation as he scanned her from head to toe again, lingering in several places. She swallowed and steadied herself. It was time to see if she still had enough magic left for self-defense. The familiar heat rose through her as she silently muttered the spell, feeling her ragged power gather. As she finished the spell, the heat roared down her arm. With a cry, she thrust her hand out and set the spell free. White flame burst out of her hand, wrapping around Jared. He shrieked, slapping at the flames, even though they weren't strong enough to burn him. All she wanted was a distraction. When his friends ran to help him, including the one who held her, she took advantage and ran across the parking lot, dodging around the cars, using them to shield her. Jared's furious roar shot through her, and she moved faster. She rounded the front end of a rusty truck and ran straight into a broad chest.
There you are.
Jared backhanded her, then grabbed her and threw her at the SUV behind him. She hit the door hard, fighting to breathe as impact knocked the wind out of her. Before she could recover, Jared yanked her around and pinned her against the car.
You don't throw a spell at me, witch, and expect to walk away. I am the son of a man who's probably tired of pulling you out of trouble.
The familiar voice lifted Lydia's head.
Harry.
He stalked out of the darkness, his eyes gold, fury pouring off him. Jared faced him, Lydia trapped against his chest.
This isn't any of your business, Gray. The woman you are tormenting is my business. Let her go, Jared, before you dig yourself any deeper. No one can touch me.
He dug his fingers into Lydia's arm and she gasped. Harry looked at her, and she wanted to flinch at the cold fury in his eyes. But she knew it wasn't for her, so she kept her gaze steady, even as pain radiated down her arm.
I can, Harry said,
Lydia bit Jared's hand, jerking free when he loosened his grip, shouting in pain. The second she was out of the way, Harry struck. He tackled Jared, both of them skidding across the tarmac. Lydia flinched at the sound of flesh smacking flesh. In the twilight, she couldn't tell who was who, as both men rolled over each other, fists lashing out, snarls filling the air. She held onto the bumper of the car next to her, cradled her throbbing left arm against her chest, and prayed for Harry. Never before had Harrison felt such rage. It freed him, pushed away his petty fears, his insignificant pains, and focused him on one thing, one target: Jared. He fought the man who had been his rival, his enemy, for as long as he could remember, heedless to any injury. All he wanted, all he needed, was for Lydia to be safe. If he had a kill for her, so be it.
Harry!
Her voice filtered through his rage, snapped him back to the present.
Harry, please!
He was on top of Jared, both hands around his neck, choking the life out of him. With a harsh breath, he let go and climbed to his feet. Pain spread down his left side. He ignored it and headed for Lydia.
Are you all right?
She nodded, reaching for him. You're hurt.
I will be fine.
He cradled her bruised cheek, rage threatening again.
He will not touch you again. I promise you, Lydia. He will pay for his actions this time.
She let out a shuddering breath, and he wanted to gather her into his arms, protect her. But he didn't know where she had been hurt by Jared, and he refused to add to her pain.
I need to sit down, she whispered.
Harrison caught her right elbow when she stumbled and led her to the bench outside the back door of the bar. Bridget ran out, her canines showing, her eyes gold. When she saw Lydia, she reined in her wolf. I called Hank, she said. He's bringing backup. I assume you want to press charges, Lydia?
Yes,
she whispered. Bridget moved to her and helped her down to the bench.
Stay here. I'm getting the doctor. She's right inside.
Harrison watched Bridget disappear inside before he leaned against the wall. He pressed his hand to his left side, not surprised when it came away bloody. Jared never did fight fair. The police cruiser skidded into the lot, lights flashing. Hank meant business this time. He stepped out of the car and headed straight for Lydia, crouching in front of her.
All right?
She nodded, flinching.
I will be.
You want to press charges?
She looked over at Jared, who was still huddled on the ground, moaning.
Absolutely.
Hank smiled. Good girl. I'll make sure he spends the night in a nice air-conditioned holding cell. Cool his temper some.
He straightened and looked at Harrison.
He's going to go after you. Let him. There were witnesses this time. He will not slink away or manufacture an alibi.
No,
Hank said. He won't.
After patting Harrison's left shoulder, he strode over to Jared and hauled him to his feet, reading the dazed shifter his rights as he cuffed him. By the time Hank started leading Jared to the cruiser, he was fighting every step.
You're going to pay for this, Marrow. My father will have your job and your head on a platter to go with it. He attacked me. I am the victim here. The crazy mutt attacked me. What did you call him?
Lydia stood, limping over to Jared. Even through his own pain, Harrison could feel her anger. She halted in front of Jared.
Answer me.
Jared sneered.
He's a mutt, Red. Didn't he tell you? He's a useless, pointless mutt.
Lydia punched him.
I believe he got the point, Miss Reston.
Hank half carried Jared over to the back of the cruiser.
Chin up, boy. She could have chosen a more delicate spot to plant her fist.
He glanced over his shoulder and flashed Lydia a grin, then pushed Jared into the back seat, closing the door on a pained roar.
I will see you at the station in the morning. We can take your statement then. You'll see she gets home, Harrison, after you both patched up.
He waved to his deputy, who had been glaring at Jared's friends, and they both slid into the cruiser. Harrison watched it fly out of the parking lot,
hitting the driveway with jarring speed. Then he headed over to Lydia, his hand hovering over her already bruising fingers.
Are you all right?
Yeah. I can't believe I punched him. She flexed her fingers. It's definitely going to leave a mark.
Ice will help.
He wanted to be the one to take care of it, take care of her, if she would allow it.
I'm sorry he hurt you like that.
Lydia looked up at him, frowning as she studied his side. You need to sit down.
I am fine.
He flinched, and she grabbed his right arm, leading him to the bench.
Lydia, sit.
She waited until he did, then sank down next to him. How did you know?
What?
How did you know I was in trouble?
He swallowed and forced himself to keep eye contact. I felt you.
Really? She took his hand, her fingers shaking against his. Thank you, she whispered. I've never been so scared in my life.
It looked as if you got a shot in.
The spell? You saw that?
The last of it. Was it a protection spell?
She nodded. Jared is terrified of fire. I figured, she said. When those flames shot out of my hand instead of the smoke I was thinking of when I cast the spell, I was aiming for something that might choke him long enough for me to get away. I didn't have enough control once I cast it.
You gave me time to get here.
Tears filled her eyes, and she ducked her head. Harrison wrapped his arm around her and pulled her in, careful of any wounds he couldn't see. She sniffed and let herself relax against him. They were interrupted when Bridget returned, dragging a woman after her. This is Dr. Sophie Mead. She's not... Thank you, Bridget. I can introduce myself while I examine them. She crouched in front of Lydia. Let me see that arm. With the doctor's help, Lydia slipped out of her now ruined cardigan and rolled up her shirt sleeve, revealing the ugly bruises left by Jared. Rage flared through Harrison when he saw punctures in some of those bruises and blood sliding down her skin. The bastard had used his claws on her. He would pay for that, one way or another. Sophie talked while she cleaned and bandaged Lydia's arm. I'm not like you, a supernatural, but my mother was, and she trained me. When I heard about Nocturne Falls, I knew I could make a life here, with people who needed my particular skills. How long have you been here? Almost a year. She glanced at Harrison. I believe we arrived at about the same time. Lydia's head snapped around. You didn't tell me it was only a year ago. He knew she was referring to his mom.
It wasn't. I left after, and I didn't return until last year. When he needed to be where he was at least somewhat accepted. He didn't fit in here any better than elsewhere. But here, people knew him, knew his past, and he did not need to hide any part of himself.
Oh.
She lowered her head, gasping when Sophie eased her arm down.
No, I'm okay, just sore. Sophie cradled her hand. I heard you punched Jared. All I can say is thank you. From every woman in town, he's harassed with his charm.
She smiled, then laid a cold pack on Lydia's knuckles.
You'll be creaky for the next few days, but there's no permanent damage. Your turn, handsome.
She moved to Harrison and carefully peeled his shirt away from his side, revealing the row of claw marks. After cursing under her breath, she started cleaning them.
I want to get any debris out before you start healing.
I don't heal as fast as other shifters, so you have some time.
She met his eyes and nodded. What I heard is true, then. She focused on his side, gentle, as she worked on the wounds. I would like to take a look at your shoulder, if that's all right. I might be able to help it heal. I'm assuming it hasn't yet, not completely.
Shock stilled him. You would be able to do that?
No promises, but you're not the first wolf I've met who was stabbed by a silver blade. It was more common than it should have been where I come from. The pack there had short tempers and held grudges like nobody's business.
Harrison laughed, surprising himself.
Sorry. No need. Sophie smiled up at him. It was funny, but stupid.
Nothing like an overload of testosterone to make a man behave like a complete idiot. With care he wasn't used to, she treated the claw marks and bandaged his wound, then handed him a small sample box. Painkillers for both of you. I want you to take them, Lydia. They'll help you sleep easier.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Mead. Sophie, please. It's nice to have another woman who is new to Nocturne Falls. If you don't mind, I'd love to call you soon. Maybe have lunch.
I'd love that, too. The women smiled at each other, and Harrison sensed the connection from Lydia's side. He was happy for her. She needed friends here. Friends who could support her, give her the strength to help face her crisis. Not a man who would suck up all that energy with his own problems.
Harry?
Lydia stood in front of him, her left arm in a sling.
Are you in pain?
Yes. He ignored his almost desperate need to retreat before he became more attached to the woman who studied him with her clear gray eyes. No. I would like to escort you home, if that's all right.
It's more than all right.
She smiled and held out her right hand.
I insist.
His heart pounded as he took her hand, and he was certain she could hear it. If she did, she didn't comment. Instead, she laced their fingers together and led him out of the parking lot. A shout behind them stopped her. Bridget rushed up, a large brown takeaway bag in her hand.
To replace the order Jared mangled. I'm so sorry, Lydia. I hope his stupid behavior doesn't keep you from coming back.
Not a chance.
Thanks, Bridget.
Harrison took the bag for her, his stomach grumbling at the intoxicating scent of meat and cheese. He would not ask for anything from her, not even a shared meal, not after what Jared had put her through. He set his thoughts aside and kept alert to their surroundings as he walked Lydia home. Fortunately, she was only a few blocks from Howler's. By the time they reached Cauldron Lane, he could feel her strength flagging. He led Lydia up to her porch, easing his hand free.
If you'll be all right from here, I'll leave you to your meal.
There's enough for two.
She smiled up at him, and need roared through him.
I'd really like you to stay, Harry. I don't think I can be alone right now.
Of course. I will stay as long as you need.
Good.
She looked down at the porch, and Harry noticed a pile of shopping bags under the window.
Shoot, I forgot all about the deliveries.
Please, allow me.
He scooped up the bags and straightened.
My hero.
She smiled at his startled glance and unlocked the door, turning back to him before she opened it.
I'm going to warn you, my cat, Max, hates men.
Except for Elias, whose gargoyle is some form of cat. She shook her head as if she still couldn't believe it.
Just don't be offended at the snarling and glaring.
Understood.
She opened the door and was immediately accosted by a black bundle of fur.
Max!
She crouched and set down the bag, wrapping her arm around him.
I'm okay, so stop sniffing me.
The cat's attention turned from her to Harrison, and it arched its back, wide green eyes shooting fury at him as it tried to wriggle free.
It is a pleasure to meet you as well, Max.
After a final glare and a disgruntled meow, the cat turned its focus to the takeaway bag. There might be something in here for you if you behave. Another meow answered her, and she laughed, letting him go.
Go on, I'll meet you in the kitchen.
She started to push to her feet and let out a moan.
Here.
Harrison caught her right arm, ignoring the pain that shot down his side as he helped her stand.
You should lie down.
I'm going to eat first. We're going to eat. At the table. And pretend like the last hour didn't happen. At least for a little while.
She gave him a pleading look, and he nodded, happy to accommodate her.
I would like to have dinner with you, Lydia.
I'll give Max his dinner in the study, with the door closed, so we can have ours in peace.
He followed her into the kitchen and set the bags on one of the long counters.
Did you need help?
Shoo!
She smiled at him and pointed to the door. I can deal with this later. I'll just pop the perishables in the fridge, then we can eat. Go sit down and I'll shout when I'm done.
She headed for the other doorway, calling for Max. Once she was out of sight, Harrison made it out to the hallway before he needed to lean against the wall, exhausted. He didn't lie to Sophie Mead. He healed more quickly than humans, but it cost him.
Harry?
Lydia stood at his side when he opened his eyes, concern on her face.
You look terrible. Come and sit.
I am...
No arguing.
She pointed to the doorway.
Move.
He bit back a smile, not certain if it would offend her.
Yes, ma'am.
The doorway led to a long, ornate dining room, with an equally long, ornate table.
I hate this room, Lydia said, sitting in the chair at the end of the table, closest to the kitchen.
It feels like it should be full of stuffy old people, talking about how today's youth are so disappointing. This time Harrison did smile, taking the chair to her right. He helped her unload the bag, setting a wrapped burger on each of the paper plates she pulled out. Next were two containers of thick fries and another container of coleslaw, along with two plastic forks.
This all looks amazing, Lydia said. I didn't think I was that hungry until I saw this spread.
Her stomach rumbled in agreement, and she laughed.
Dig in, Harry.
He did, making certain she had enough on her plate before he claimed the rest of the fries and coleslaw. His body demanded the food, the need to replace what it was using to heal him ratcheting up his appetite. It took all his control to not bolt down the huge burger. They were both quiet as they ate, except for Lydia's occasional appreciative moan. He understood completely. The burger was fantastic, thick, flavorful, with a rich layer of cheddar cheese, plus a mountain of lettuce, tomato, and onion complementing the juicy meat. Before he knew it, he had eaten the last of the burger and polished off both the fries and the mound of coleslaw. He leaned back in the chair, his body sated, but still fighting the need to rest.
I should leave you to sleep, he said.
Please stay.
She touched his hand, and he fought the need to move around the table and wrap her in his arms.
There's a guest room, just behind the kitchen. I think it was the housekeeper's room. I don't want to be alone in the house. Not tonight.
Her plea had him nodding before he could make an objection. The fact that he wanted to stay made it easier for him to shove down the argument that he should leave her alone, that he should leave her for good. Harrison helped her clear the table and waited for her to lead him to the guest room. It was tiny, with room for a double bed and a single nightstand. He would miss his king-size bed, but it was only for one night. With his side itching, he doubted he would get much sleep.
Tell the truth, at least to yourself.
He wouldn't sleep because he wanted her, at his side, in his life. Impossible dreams. Thank you, Harry. There are towels in the bathroom if you want to take a shower. She stood on tiptoe and kissed his cheek. I'll see you in the morning. He watched her walk through the kitchen, her shoulders slumped, her exhaustion and pain brushing over his skin. And he knew it was too late to be noble and walk away. He was falling in love with her. Chapter 8. It took less than an hour of trying to fall asleep before Lydia knew she wouldn't. Her arm hurt too much, even with a second dose of painkillers. The other reason was in the small bedroom downstairs. She never would have believed that she could fall so fast and so hard for a man she hardly knew, never mind a man who wasn't human. Then Harry had tumbled into her life, literally. She smiled at the memory of him, sprawled at her feet. He had been vulnerable, and so appealing because of it. From that first moment, she had started to fall. It was time to stop denying. No matter what happened in the future, she wanted him now, in her life. He had already stolen her heart.
Stay here, Max, she muttered, scratching his ear. I'm going downstairs.
He burrowed deeper into the pillow and started snoring. I'll take that as approval.
Just to be sure he wouldn't interrupt, she closed her bedroom door. Max wouldn't be happy, but he had the bed to himself, plus food and water in the bathroom. He would survive a night by himself. She made her way down the stairs, cradling her left arm. It might be a hindrance, but she wouldn't let it stop her. Nerves zipped through her as she headed through the kitchen and made her hand shake when she reached out to knock on the door. She cursed under her breath and almost jumped a foot when the door opened. "Lydia, are you all right?" She'd forgotten about his ability to feel her.
"Yeah, I can't sleep. Can I come in?"
He looked surprised, but recovered quickly and stepped back, letting her walk in past him. The tiny dimensions of the bedroom meant that she was almost nose to chest with him when he turned around. Nose to bare, muscled chest. She took in a shaky breath, and her right hand spread over his heart before she could stop it. He stilled, but his heart pounded furiously under her hand.
"Harry," she whispered.
He didn't need any more prompting. Before she could take in another breath, he hauled her up and captured her lips. Heat roared through her. She couldn't seem to get close enough to him and let out a frustrated moan. He seemed to understand, because the next thing she knew, she was on the bed and he was on top of her, every hot, muscular inch of him. "Tell me to stop," he whispered, kissing his way down her throat. When she didn't say anything, he lifted his head and met her eyes. "Please, Lydia, I am almost at the point of no return."
"Don't stop, Harry. I never want you to stop."
With a low growl, he kissed her, careful of her bruises even as he ravaged her mouth. She arched against him, wanting him to lose control. He seemed to read her mind and rolled to his side, taking her with him. His hand slid under her oversized t-shirt, spreading across her bare, hot skin to pull her close.
"If I hurt you, I want you to let me know."
His deep, raw voice washed over her.
"I never want to hurt you, Lydia."
"You're killing me right now."
She smiled at his rumbling laughter.
"Love me, Harry Gray. Love me until I can't breathe."
He hesitated, uncertainty in his gold-brown eyes.
"Lydia."
"We'll figure it out, Harry, together. I have faith in your manly instinct."
"I'm glad one of us has faith in my instinct."
He cut off her shout of laughter with his lips, and her laugh strangled to a moan when he deepened the kiss. She had a feeling she was going to need more than a shot of oxygen by the time they were done. Chapter 9. A warm, roving hand pulled Lydia out of sound sleep. At some point during the night, Harry had carried her up to her bedroom, chasing Max out with a single glance.
"Good morning," she whispered. "It is morning, isn't it?"
"According to the sun outside the window, yes."
He nuzzled her throat, and she moaned, pressing back against him.
"Lydia, please hold still."
He sounded a little desperate. She smiled and moved again, loving his response to her. He had been so responsive last night and an incredibly fast learner.
"Practice makes perfect," she said, smiling at him over her shoulder.
"Yes, it does."
His wicked grin warned her just before his hand spread over her belly, holding her in place as he kissed the sensitive spot behind her ear, then nibbled on her earlobe.
"Harry."
Now it was her turn to sound desperate.
"Practicing,"
he muttered, and pulled her back against his chest. Skin on skin, he teased her, slowly drove her to the edge of crazy. Her cheerful ringtone interrupted, stilling them.
"Let it ring," he whispered.
He kissed her neck, his lips and tongue tasting her skin, heating her faster than a roaring fire. As much as she wanted him to keep going, she reached up and touched his arm.
"It might be Hank."
He sighed and eased his grip on her, enough to let her reach her phone. She froze when she saw the number on the screen. It wasn't Hank.
Lydia?
He sat, taking her with him.
Who is it?
A voice from my past, she whispered. Taking a deep breath, she swiped the screen.
Hi, Tammy.
Lydia! Oh, thank heaven, I was terrified that you'd changed your number or your phone. I wouldn't blame you.
Why did you call, Tammy?
If she didn't interrupt, her best friend would ramble on until she ran out of breath.
It's Ned.
Lydia closed her eyes, gripping the phone.
Somehow he knows where you are. He's on his way there now.
Harry curled his body around her, like he felt the surge of panic that threatened to drown her. His presence calmed her, lessened some of the panic.
There, Lydia?
Tammy's high-pitched voice snapped her back. It only reached ear-shattering when Tammy felt out of control.
I need to know you're okay.
I will be. Thanks for the heads up. I really appreciate it.
I can fly out there. Stay with you.
No. Lydia couldn't imagine flamboyant, outspoken Tammy in the same room with Harry. And she wanted Harry with her, at her side, when she faced Ned one last time.
I don't want you caught up in this. You know I'll stand next to you no matter what.
Lydia sighed. I do know. Thanks, Tammy, for calling. For everything you did to get me here.
Are you happy, sweetie?
She looked over at Harry, his dark, sun-streaked hair tousled, his gaze steady. He was steady and strong and exactly what she needed in her life.
Yes, Tammy, I am. I'll call you later, okay? You better, or I may fly down there anyway. Love you, sweetie.
Love you back.
Bye.
She ended the call and took her time setting the phone on the nightstand. She knew Harry would have questions, and she was still processing what Tammy told her.
How did Ned find her? She was so careful to cover her tracks, and she had planned her escape when she knew he would be out of town on business.
Harry's warm hand spread across her back.
Talk to me, Lydia.
She swallowed past the panic lodged in her throat. My ex is on his way. He found me.
Harry gathered her into his arms, rubbing her back.
I don't know how he found me, Harry. I did everything I could to...
Hush, he murmured, his hand soothing. You will not face him alone, love.
His hand stilled, and he must have realized what he'd just called her.
Lydia,
say it again.
She lifted her head and met his eyes.
I like the sound of it, being your love.
He closed his eyes for a second, then lowered his head until his breath warmed her lips.
I have been yours since before the moment I saw you, smiling down at me. I have been terrified that I would chase you away after learning of your recent troubles.
You're the rock in the middle of all this, Harry. Someone I can hold on to. Someone I know won't desert me when things get rough.
What he'd said hit her.
What do you mean before you saw me?
He swallowed, and she was afraid he'd lie or evade. Instead, he sat, taking her with him.
The night before we met, I had a dream about you.
Shock jolted her.
I was fighting someone, wasn't I? She whispered. A faceless, hooded figure stealing my power.
He nodded and ran one hand through his hair.
I stood in the shadow, unable to move or help. I wanted to stand between you and your nemesis, Lydia. I wanted to protect you,
even if it was just a dream.
She leaned against his chest, his heartbeat soothing her. After hesitating, like he was afraid she'd push him away, his arm wrapped around her.
I felt someone, and I knew I wasn't alone. It helped, Harry. It helped me fight. Helped me drag myself out of the dream when I couldn't fight anymore.
Lydia, his heartbeat sped up. I feared you might think I was...
Insane? Delusional?
Hardly. When he let out a shaky breath, she eased back until she met his eyes. You're the best part of my life, of this place. I can't imagine Nocturne Falls without you. She reached up and cradled his cheek. I'm falling for you, Harrison Gray. I hope that doesn't scare you. He answered by kissing her, lowering her to the bed as she wrapped her arm around him. Lydia let herself be drawn into his warmth, his strength. She would need it, and him, when Ned showed his pinched, angry face. Hank's call interrupted them, and Harry took the phone from Lydia, informing him that they would be down at the station in an hour. Then he ended the call and tossed the phone at the nightstand. Lydia caught it before it tumbled to the floor and set it next to the lamp before she turned to face him. Hank knows you're with me.
Yes.
This is a small town.
He nodded. Yes, it is.
She let out an exasperated sigh.
People are going to talk, Harry.
His smile warmed her. I hope so.
She smiled when he kissed her throat, picking up where they left off. She let her head fall back to give him more access, and he rolled her until she was on her back, his weight pressing her into the bed.
We only have an hour, Harry.
He wiggled his eyebrows. There is much I can do in an hour.
She burst out laughing, then forgot everything as his lips cut off her laughter. Once she could think straight, she eased out of bed, letting him sleep, and headed for the bathroom. An angry yowl had her changing direction, running to the door. She opened it enough to squeeze through and closed it before Max could shoot inside.
Sorry, old man, I have company in there.
She sat and pulled Max into her lap, rubbing him behind the ears.
I know it's fast, but I'm falling in love with him, Max. I think he might feel the same. I need him, as much as I need you, Grumpy.
He butted her with his head, and she smiled, knowing she had been forgiven. For now.
Thanks, Max.
I have to take a shower, but let's get you some breakfast first. He meowed in agreement and ran down the stairs, waiting for her when she reached the kitchen. Lydia opened a can of his favorite cat meal and dumped it in his new bowl, setting the bowl next to his water. Enjoy, sweet boy. She sensed Harry just before he wrapped his arms around her, so solid, so strong, as he pulled her in.
Good morning, he whispered,
kissing his way from her sensitive earlobe down to her throat. She let out a sigh and relaxed against him.
Do we have time for our breakfast?
Not if I want to take a shower, but you can eat while I'm doing that. I'll grab something for the road.
We will both grab something for the road.
He turned her and walked her toward the stairs.
I could do with a shower myself.
What about your bandage?
Her voice faded when she turned in his arms and saw his left side. He had removed the bandage at some point, and all that remained of the nasty claw marks were three faded red streaks.
Harry?
It took most of the night.
He pressed her hovering hand to the newly healed skin.
I will need another day or so to recover my strength. Stop frowning, Lydia. What happened between us did not affect my recovery. Quite the opposite.
He raised her hand to his lips, and she shivered when he kissed her palm.
You have renewed my spirit and my belief.
Oh, Harry.
He kissed her before she could say something sappy and over the top.
A quick shower?
He asked. Separate bathrooms. She pointed her finger as he sputtered a protest. We'll never get to the station on time if we end up in the same shower.
Good point.
He kissed her again until her knees threatened to buckle, then let go, forcing her to grab for the nearest wall.
Go take your shower, my beautiful Lydia. I will use the bathroom down here.
He disappeared into the kitchen before she could protest. Max protested for her, yowling until Harry had obviously retreated to the bathroom at the end of the short hallway. Lydia smiled and made her way upstairs, her legs still shaky. She had never been attracted to the quiet, stable type. Now she knew that along with it, she got the strength, the loyalty, and the good heart. Men like Ned were part of her old life, for good. She couldn't wait to tell him and boot him out of her new, happy life. Harrison tucked Lydia's hand in the crook of his arm as they walked through town, proud and happier than he had ever hoped to be. They had obstacles to overcome, but he was confident that they would face them together and be stronger for it. The police station appeared before he was ready to relinquish her, but he knew she would want to stand on her own for this, and freed her hand, opening the door for her. "Thank you, Harry." She paused, looking up at him, her gray eyes serious. "For everything." His voice lodged in his throat, and he lost the chance to say what was in his heart. He followed her inside and braced himself for the confrontation with Jared. There would be time later to tell Lydia that he was in love with her and in a more appropriate place. Hank greeted them, looking grim.
"I'm sorry, Lydia, Harrison. I had to let Jared go."
"What?" She sounded more angry than scared. "Why?"
"His father stormed in last night and forced me to set bail, which he promptly paid, in cash."
"I thought he had to go through the system before he could do any of that."
"Small town," Hank sighed, rubbing his forehead. "And Jared's father has enough leverage to get things done. I'm sorry. If you still want to make a statement, I'll make sure he answers for his assault on you and Harrison."
Lydia seemed to deflate. It hurt Harrison to watch her lose the spark that made her vivacious. "Can I think about it?"
"Not too long, but yes. I'll need your answer by the end of the day."
"Thank you. I'll let you know before then." She turned and looked surprised to see Harrison behind her. "I'm sorry, Harry. I need to go." Before he could stop her, she pushed past him and ran outside.
"Thank you, Hank. I will keep her safe."
Hank nodded.
"I don't doubt it for a second."
Harrison ran after Lydia. He didn't need to go far. She had stopped at the corner, cradling her left arm, tears sliding down her face. Afraid to scare her, he stopped just out of arm's reach, where she could see him.
"I am sorry this happened, Lydia."
She nodded and wiped her face.
"I hate crying. I'm an ugly crier."
He raised his eyebrows.
"Excuse me?"
She sighed and turned to him.
"You know, someone who looks ugly when they cry. I know women who cry with such grace. It's like a gift. I always look like someone punched me."
"You are beautiful, Lydia, no matter what you happen to be doing."
"What did I do to deserve you, Harry?"
He took a chance and moved to her side, cradling her cheek.
"You smiled at me, Lydia."
With a sigh, she leaned into him, more tears spilling down her cheeks. He wiped them away and wrapped his arms around her when she started crying in earnest. He kissed her forehead and whispered against her hair,
"I'm going to take you home."
"No."
She sniffed and accepted the handkerchief he offered, smiling up at him.
"I should have known you'd carry the real thing."
She blew her nose and tucked the handkerchief in her coat pocket.
"I'll wash it and get it back to you."
"You can keep it. Let me take you home, Lydia."
"I'll be fine. Why don't you meet me there later? You have a store to open."
"I am not stepping foot in my shop until I know you're safe."
"Ned, right."
Her sigh had him sliding his arm around her waist. "I almost forgot about him invading my life again. I still have time. Even if he hopped on the first plane this morning, he won't be here for hours." She ran one hand through her hair, still damp from her shower. Let me get cleaned up. You take care of what you need to at the shop, and we can regroup at my house.
Harrison didn't like leaving her alone for one moment, but he nodded. I won't be long. An hour at the most.
I'll have a late breakfast ready when you get there.
She stood on tiptoe and kissed his cheek.
Then we can figure out what to do for the rest of the day.
He blinked, not certain she meant what he thought she meant, until he met her eyes. Amusement sparkled in the gray depths, and the weight on his heart eased. The Lydia he loved was back, even with all she faced. I will think hard on it, he whispered. Then, not caring if the entire town saw, he kissed her, letting her know how much he cared, how important she was to him. When he freed her, she stared up at him, dazed and flushed.
Wow!
She touched her lips, and he wanted to kiss her again.
Who knew good boys could kiss like bad boys?
She winked at him and made her way across the street, looking over her shoulder every few steps. He waited, watching her.
Go,
she said, her voice carrying across the street. Harrison was aware of every tourist, every local on the street staring at them. For the first time, he didn't shy away from the attention.
Do what you need to do.
A smile tugged at her lips, and he knew her next words were about to change his life.
I'll see you at home, Harry.
She blew him a kiss and disappeared around the corner.
You're a lucky man.
The feminine voice startled him. He turned around and found the Fae, Willa Iskov, behind him, her eyes dancing.
And she's lucky to have a man standing at her side, especially now.
She touched his arm, and he felt warmth spread through him.
Take care of each other, Harrison.
Thank you.
She nodded at him and continued down the sidewalk. Harrison took a deep breath and headed for his shop. He was a lucky man, and he would do whatever it took to keep Lydia safe, even if that meant facing off with her past. Chapter 10. Lydia felt calmer after walking home. She wasn't alone anymore. For the first time in years, maybe ever, she was with a man she really believed in, a man she knew would stand beside her no matter what came at them. She ran up the porch steps, digging her keys out of her pocket. Max would get some spoil time before she started making a late breakfast for Harry. If Max was lucky, he might get his own share of the bacon she planned to...
Hello, Lydia.
She stumbled to a halt, turning toward the familiar voice. He stepped out of the shadows of the deep porch, one hand in his pocket.
Ned,
she whispered.
You can't be here. How are you here?
A friend with a private plane. What did you do to your hair?
He almost wailed the last word, and she fought a satisfied smile.
I cut it to suit me.
You butchered it. Oh, that beautiful hair. Gone.
She was already exhausted, and he'd only been here a couple of minutes.
Get over yourself, Ned. Aren't you happy to see me?
I'll never be happy to see you.
She ran down her steps and let out a raw cry when he grabbed her. Ned clapped one hand over her mouth and carried her back up to the porch, pushing the door open with his shoulder.
How did he...
She was too angry to finish the thought. This man dared to invade her home. A muffled yowl had her fighting in his grip. He let her go and backed out of punching range.
Where is Max?
I put him out. Ned wrinkled his nose. Filthy animal shouldn't be in the house, Lydia. How many times have we had this discussion?
My house, she said, gritting her teeth on a curse.
How dare you waltz in here like you think you belong? I want you out, Ned. Now! She pointed to the front door, hoping her arm didn't shake. She was beyond furious.
I came to reason with you, Lydia, to bring you home, where you belong.
She took a deep breath, counted to 10. This is my home. It's time for you to get out because you're not welcome. He sighed.
I was afraid you might react this way. I didn't want to force you, Lydia.
But if that's what it takes... He slipped his hand into his trouser pocket.
Then I'm willing to do it.
He pulled out a small white stone and held it out. Lydia recoiled, recognizing the stone. It was the one from her dream. She could feel the same pull of the spell embedded in the stone, a spell designed to draw a witch's power.
It was you, she said. Why?
Your power was coming between us, keeping you busy when I needed you. I thought if you didn't have it anymore, you'd need me to protect you, to love you like I want to.
You thought?
She couldn't comprehend his twisted reasoning.
You stole the most important part of me because you thought I was ignoring you?
He stared at her. I didn't steal it. She told me it would just make you less of a witch.
Ned, Lydia forced herself to speak calmly. My magic is fading, disappearing. What did you think she meant? And what witch was he talking about? Who hated her enough to cast this spell, knowing exactly what it would do to her?
I just wanted you to come back to me. Is that so wrong?
Who gave you the spell, Ned?
Maybe she could have a witch here reverse it, release her power.
No, Lydia, you're not going to talk around me. Not this time. We're going home. Even if I have to take you home as human and not a witch.
He thrust the stone at her. A brilliant white light burst free, slamming into Lydia before she could escape it. She screamed as white-hot pain drove into her. The spell pinpointed the source of her power and pierced it, dropping her to her knees. She couldn't fight, didn't have the strength or magic left to push out the spell.
Ned, she gasped, stop, please.
I want you back, Lydia. This is the only way. He stood over her, holding the stone over her heart. She fought to breathe and used the last of her strength to send a mental message to Harry, praying he would hear her, feel her, before it was too late. Harrison froze in the middle of his shop as Lydia's pain struck him with the force of a hurricane.
No, not now. I will not lose her.
He sprinted into the back room, his fingers shaking as he fought to turn the deadbolt.
Hang on for me, love. Please, hang on.
He finally turned the lock and shoved the door open, slamming it behind him. A heavy weight struck him before he could take two steps.
Time for your lesson, mutt.
Jared shifted, just enough for his claws to form and close around Harrison's throat.
Long past time.
Harrison grabbed Jared's furred wrists, desperation and adrenaline giving him strength.
I will be happy to settle any...
Jared dug his claws into Harrison's right shoulder and yanked him up.
Now, mutt. We do it now.
He threw Harrison at the wall and came after him. Ned stood over Lydia's hunched figure, the stone inches from her cheek.
I just want you to come home, Lydia.
She cringed at the proximity of the spell and his whining tone. She had forgotten how much he whined to get his way, and how often she'd just given in to get him to stop. Not this time.
Please, put the stone away,
she gasped, her lungs aching.
Ned, Stara said you'd fight, and that I should force you to face your fear.
He pressed the stone against her cheek, and she shuddered.
This is your fear, Lydia. Fear of committing to me.
Stara, it figured. The one witch in L.A. with a power complex is the one he goes to.
Ned, she lied. You're draining my magic.
What? No! The stone pulsed with his temper, driving deeper. It felt like part of her soul was being stripped away.
All you have to do is say yes to me, and everything will be fine.
Even with the evidence in front of him, Ned never did truly believe. She decided to give him what he thought he needed, and deal with the consequences later, when she could breathe again.
Yes,
she whispered. Ned straightened, staring at the stone. An endless second later, he frowned.
It's not working. I'm supposed to feel connected, one with you. She said we would become inseparable if you said yes.
He yanked her off the floor and pushed the stone against her throat. Agony lodged the scream in her chest, along with her breath. She clawed at his hand, trying to pull the stone away. If she didn't take a breath soon, darkness edged her vision, her hand weaker with every attempt to grab the stone. Contact shocked her when she finally grabbed it, but she tightened her grip, using the last of her strength to put space between her and the stone. Ned yanked it away from her, and the pain finally eased. She took in a raw breath, clutching the floor. Her head cleared a little more with every breath, her lungs begging for more. Movement had her flinching, ready to defend herself again. Ned's voice filtered through the haze.
Why isn't it working? You said yes.
He stood over her, rubbing the stone.
I should feel something. She lied,
Lydia whispered. He stared down at her, frowning.
What? Stara lied to you.
Lydia took another shaky breath and braced herself on one arm.
She cast a spell into the stone. A spell that drains my magic.
And probably transferred it to her. Lydia would deal with that later.
Please, Ned, you need to destroy it.
No! He hugged the stone. It pulsed, matching his heartbeat. Lydia was afraid that Stara had linked him to it, which meant if she destroyed it, she could hurt Ned, or worse.
It's mine. You're mine!
He stalked toward her, the stone pulsing in his outstretched hand. Even if he could no longer shift, the reflexes of a shifter had never left Harrison. He used them now, whirling to meet Jared's attack head-on. His shoulder throbbed, hindering the strength in his right arm. He compensated with his left, punching Jared in the nose. Jared stumbled back, clutching his nose.
You broke it!
I will break every bone I can reach if you keep me here. He pushed past Jared, tensed and ready for any attack, and sprinted down the alley.
Please let me get to her in time.
If he lost Lydia now, he couldn't get past that single thought. He would get to her in time. He had to. Lydia stumbled backward into the living room and collided with the ugly oak side table. The lampshade of an equally ugly lamp brushed her cheek. A heavy, ugly, wrought iron lamp. She decided to try one last time before she resorted to desperate.
Ned, put the stone down. We can talk about...
Not until it binds you to me! That made what she was planning easier. It's not going to happen, Ned. She slid her hand across the top of the side table, her fingers bumping against the base of the lamp. He moved to her, holding the stone out. Lydia fought the need to throw up a protection spell. Any magic use would only drain her faster. And she didn't think she had enough left even to cast a spell. Any spell.
I will keep trying until it does, he said.
You're mine, Lydia. You've always been mine. He shoved the stone at her. She grabbed the base of the lamp and swung it at his hand. He let out a high-pitched scream when the iron base hit his wrist.
The stone flew out of his hand and hit the wall behind Lydia. It bounced to the floor, intact, and the impact drove Lydia to her knees, pain clawing at her.
"No," she whispered. "You won't win this one, Stara."
With the last of her strength, she raised the lamp and aimed it at the stone. Harrison sprinted up the sidewalk leading to Lydia's house and almost tripped over a streak of black.
"Max," he looked down at the furious cat. "Is she inside?"
Max meowed and bounded up the porch steps. Harrison followed him, ready to kick the door open. He decided to see if it was unlocked before he bashed it down. The doorknob twisted under his hand, and he shoved the door open.
"Lydia?"
Max shot past him and headed for the living room. He followed the cat, figuring he would know where his mistress was.
"Lydia!"
His voice caught in his throat when he saw her, curled up on the living room floor.
"No. Please, no."
He knelt beside her and gently rolled her over. She let out a harsh gasp, grabbing his hand when he started to retreat.
"Okay. I'm okay."
She looked far from okay. She was whiter than a sheet, and shaking so badly she could barely hold his hand.
"You're hurt."
He shrugged it off, even as his right shoulder complained about the movement, loudly.
"I ran into an old adversary."
"Jared, I'm sorry. It looks like you won."
"For now."
"You came for me."
He framed her face, his throat tight.
"I love you, Lydia. I will always come for you."
Tears filled her eyes.
"You love me?"
"I do."
He gently gathered her into his arms.
"Harry, my magic is gone."
He followed her glance downward. White shards littered the floor, still glowing faintly. The stone from their dream. It had been as real as Lydia. As he watched, that glow died. She let out a breath and relaxed against him.
"Lydia?"
"The spell's been broken, and with it, the last of my power."
She looked up at him.
"I'm just an ordinary woman."
"You are far from ordinary, love."
He kissed her tenderly and picked her up, standing. A low moan caught his attention. For the first time, he noticed the thin blonde man huddled behind the sofa.
"Is that Ned?"
"Yeah.
He's the reason behind my magic fading."
"No,"
she said, pressing her fingers against his lips when he started to curse. "He didn't know, and I'm not going to blame him." She let out a sigh.
"I'm just going to send him home."
"You have a generous heart," he growled when the man lifted his head.
"Harry, don't scare him."
"Sorry."
He wasn't the least bit sorry, but for Lydia, he would say it.
"Put me down, please."
He did, keeping his left arm around her waist when she swayed.
"Ned, you need to go."
"Lydia?"
He used the back of the sofa to help him stand.
"How? When did I get here? And where is here?"
"I'll explain when we're both recovered. You can stay." She looked up at Harry.
"Where can he stay?"
"I will phone the bed and breakfast in town."
"Thanks."
She smiled at him, a pallid version of her usual smile.
"I better sit down before you let me go."
"Of course."
He carefully settled her on the sofa and reached for his phone before remembering he left it on the counter at his shop.
"I'm afraid I'll need to borrow your phone."
"You can use the landline. There's a phone in the kitchen."
She leaned against the back of the sofa and closed her eyes. She looked so fragile, so pale. He didn't want to leave her alone.
"I'm okay, Harry. Stop frowning and go make your calls."
She opened one eye.
"Tell Dr. Mead I said hi."
Harrison shook his head.
He should have known Lydia would guess his intentions.
Stay put. I want you to rest until she gets here.
Yes, sir. I will.
A gasp cut her off, and she pressed one hand to her heart.
Harry?
He made it to the sofa in time to catch her as she pitched forward. Lydia!
Hurts,
she whispered.
Don't leave me.
She doubled, the skin under his hand hot and slick with sweat.
Hold on for me, Lydia.
He swept her up in his arms and carried her through the house, headed for the front door. Max followed him, quiet, watchful. Harry wouldn't deny him time with his mistress. It may be the last.
Stop, he whispered, his voice as raw as his heart. She is strong, stronger than I have ever been.
He kissed her forehead and moved faster when he felt the heat radiating off her skin.
Hold on, my heart.
Harrison shoved open the door of Dr. Mead's small office, carrying an unconscious Lydia in his arms.
Help me.
The receptionist leapt to her feet. Bring her back here. She led the way through the door behind her into an exam room. I'll get Dr. Mead. Harrison gently laid Lydia on the padded table and took her hand, afraid to let go of her, afraid to lose the tenuous connection with her. Harrison? Dr. Mead touched his arm. I need you to give me some room and tell me what happened. He let go of Lydia, reluctantly, and stepped back. As Dr. Mead checked Lydia, he told her what he knew, including the spell. She nodded and called for the receptionist, who turned out to be her nurse. Call the hospital. We'll need an airlift and one of our specialists on the other side. Request one for a witch. Yes, doctor. The nurse left, and Dr. Mead turned to Harrison. She's suffering from a backlash. If I can get her to the right person in time, she'll recover.
Fear threatened to drown him. If not?
Harrison. She took his hand, and he knew the news wouldn't be pleasant. She won't come back. He stumbled, slamming the wall with his right shoulder.
I can't lose her.
I will do everything in my power to bring her back. Now I want you to sit. My nurse Jackie will come in and take a look at your shoulder. No argument, Harrison. He let her lead him to the chair that stood next to the exam table. She squeezed his left shoulder and left him, calling for Jackie. He braced himself on the edge of the table, tracing the line of Lydia's face. Her beautiful, too still face. She had always been so animated, so vivacious, since the moment he met her. To see her like this tore at him. Too soon, and not fast enough, a gurney rolled into the room, and the two techs gently lifted Lydia to it, covering her with a blanket and strapping her in. Harrison stood.
I'm going with her.
Doc said you'd want to. There's room. The tech at the head of the gurney glanced at Harrison's bloody shoulder. You have to come now.
I'm ready.
He nodded and waved to the other tech. They rolled the gurney out and down the hallway to a back door. Harrison followed them, ignoring the nurse running after him. Mr. Gray, I'm supposed to look at your shoulder.
It will do.
He left her behind and ran across the back parking lot to the chopper. Lydia had just been loaded in as he reached it. He climbed in and took a seat on her left side, opposite the tech working over her. The other tech slid the door closed. Let's move. They took off, heading in the direction of the county hospital, one of the best in the state Harrison knew from personal experience, and one of the only in the state that treated supernaturals. He lowered his head and did something he had not done in a very long time. He prayed.
Protect her. Keep her safe. Bring her back to me.
Chapter 11. The light pulled at Lydia, bright, but soft at the same time. It soothed every ache, including the gaping one where her power had lived. She was tired, so tired of fighting, of facing each day without the part of herself that defined her. The light promised rest, respite,
and an end to that struggle. She started walking toward it.
Lydia.
The voice brushed over her skin, almost an echo. A voice she recognized. Who is that? The light reached out, pulling her attention back to it. She shrugged. It didn't matter. Not anymore. All that mattered was finally being at peace.
Come back to me, love.
Love. He loved her. He told her that right before she... What? What happened to me? How did I get here? There were no answers in the light, only a simple promise, one she wasn't sure she was ready for. I don't think... I'm not supposed to be here, not yet. An almost silent sigh reached her. Is it my choice whether or not I want to stay? The light didn't answer, simply beckoned to her again, offering a way out, an escape.
Lydia, please don't leave me alone.
She turned to the voice.
You are my life.
Harry, she whispered. His face appeared in her mind, strong, handsome, vulnerable. I don't want to escape. I want to live my life with him.
Even without magic?
The disembodied voice startled her. She faced the light and finally made out a figure, silhouetted in the middle of the soft glow.
There is no guarantee that you will ever have that part of yourself again.
I think, yeah, I'm okay with that, as long as Harry's with me.
This Harry is important to you?
She smiled and looked over her shoulder. Darkness waited there, and uncertainty. But she knew Harry was there, and new friends, a new life, one she wasn't ready to let go. More important than I ever expected when he fell at my feet.
He is a rare man.
Amusement edged the voice. He is a good man, a kind man, the best man. She whispered, and felt, for the first time since becoming aware. She felt her heart ache with need, with loss. And she knew she would feel that even if she walked into the light. I want to go back.
The choice is yours, child. It has always been, and will always be.
The voice gentled and laid on her shoulder like a warm, supporting hand.
All you need to do is turn around. He will be waiting for you.
Panic skated through her at the thought of turning away from the light, leaving it behind. Will this still be here?
When you are ready, child.
The invisible hand freed her.
When you are ready.
The light started to recede. Lydia shivered, wrapping both arms around her waist. She felt alone, more alone than she ever had. There was only one way to fix that. She took a shaky breath, lowered her arms, and turned around. Hold on, Harry. I'm coming. She took a step toward the darkness, then another. By the third step, she was running, toward uncertainty, heartache, life, glorious, imperfect life. The murmur of voices slowly pulled her toward the surface. Lydia swallowed and focused all her strength on opening her eyes. She could tell, even with her blurred vision, that she was in a hospital room. They always had a certain look and an antiseptic ambiance, no matter how pretty the decoration. It took most of her remaining energy to turn her head, and she found him. Harry. He stood next to the bed, staring out the dark window. As he watched, he stilled,
and turned to her.
Lydia.
He moved to the bed and reached for her hand, halting before he touched it.
You're awake.
Yeah.
She sounded terrible.
Don't stop.
She glanced at his hand. With what seemed like relief, he cradled her hand, his fingers shaking.
I was afraid.
He lowered his head, his voice quiet, raw.
I feared that I'd lost you.
Almost. I heard you.
He lifted his head, his gold-brown eyes dark with exhaustion. She knew then that he hadn't left her side.
You heard me?
It was the whole cliché. Bright light, peaceful feeling. Then I heard you, and I knew I had to come back. He closed his eyes, tears sliding down his cheeks.
Hey.
She wanted to reach up and wipe at his tears, but she barely had the strength to stay awake.
Okay.
She could feel herself slipping.
We're okay.
Stay with me, Lydia.
Just sleeping,
she muttered.
Promise.
His lips brushed her cheek, his breath warm on her skin.
I love you, my beautiful witch. Sleep. I will be here when you wake.
The image of his face and the sound of his voice followed her into the darkness. She felt safe, connected, loved. No matter what happened, she had made the right choice. Chapter 12. Sunlight streamed through the window when Lydia woke again. This time it was easy to open her eyes, easy to focus. She found Harry, still at her side, like he promised. He was asleep, his head resting on his arms. She blinked when she found Max curled up next to him, purring like an engine, watching her with his jewel-green eyes.
How did you get in here?
She whispered. Her voice still sounded terrible, but not as terrible as before. Max crawled over to her and bumped her shoulder with his head before he curled up next to her.
I missed you too, old man.
When she looked up, Harry was watching her.
Good morning.
He sounded exhausted, and what looked like several days of stubble darkened his jaw.
Stay here.
He stood and leaned over to kiss her forehead. The doctor wanted to know when you woke.
There goes my nature walk.
She winked at him when he halted, looking over his shoulder.
Kidding.
He flashed her a smile and walked out of her room.
Wow.
She didn't remember him smiling like that before. Her reaction to it surprised her. She felt lightheaded and ridiculously happy.
Well, the lightheaded might be injury-related, she muttered.
Talking to yourself is the first sign that you're getting better.
The man who stood in the doorway, wearing a white doctor's coat, looked familiar.
I'm Dr. McGuire, Lydia. Let's take a look and see how you're doing.
Dr. McGuire, from the posters.
So, my advertising works.
He winked at her, warming the end of his stethoscope between his hands.
There, that shouldn't feel like an ice cube on your chest. Now, take a deep breath for me.
He slipped the warm scope under her hospital gown, listening as she breathed in and let it out.
Very good, Lydia. You're coming along nicely.
I wasn't before, was I?
He sobered and took her hand.
I thought the spell had won. But you surprised me, child, by walking away from the peace offered to you.
Realization smacked her. It was you, the voice I heard. That was you.
Guilty.
Why?
He sighed and sat on the bed next to her. I'm a sorcerer, Lydia. She jerked at his confession. Sorcerers were dark magic users
and every witch she knew avoided them. I deal with death on a regular basis. As a witch, losing your magic is sometimes worse than death. It is why I gave you the choice. A choice you needed to make on your own. Many witches in your position weren't strong enough to turn away from the light.
They didn't have a Harry.
No. Dr. McGuire glanced at the door. They didn't. She turned and found Harry standing there, tall, beautiful, and hers. He walked into the room and stopped at the end of the bed. How is she, Dr. McGuire?
On the mend.
He stood.
I'd like to keep you another day, Lydia, to make sure your recovery is going to stick. But I'm confident that you'll be able to go home tomorrow.
Thank you, she said.
She waited until he'd walked out of the room, then held out her hand to Harry.
Come and sit with me.
He sat next to her, and she leaned against him, wrapping the arm not hindered by an IV tube around his waist.
Thank you.
For what? His deep, gentle voice rumbled through her.
For not giving up on me.
Not an option. She blinked back the tears, stinging her eyes, then looked up at him, smiling.
Tell me all the gossip.
He rubbed her back, slow, soothing. She wanted to drift off, surrounded by his warmth, his scent, but she forced herself to stay awake.
What happened with Ned?
He recovered, enough to travel home. There is a letter from him, at your house. Every other sentence starts with the words, I'm sorry.
She smacked his arm. You read it.
And I am not sorry. Laughter burst out of her. She regretted the outburst immediately.
Ouch!
Harry settled her back to the bed. The doctor said you would be sore for some time. You fought quite a battle, Lydia, and the spell nearly defeated you.
I don't remember it. I think that's a good thing.
The pain that sprang into his eyes confirmed her suspicion.
Tell me some more juicy gossip.
That would distract him.
What happened with Jarrett?
Ah. The pain eased as he smiled. I'm afraid Jarrett finally got his comeuppance.
Comeuppance?
Lydia fought a smile and lost.
Who says that?
I do. He raised an eyebrow. When the situation calls for it.
Sorry, please, spill about his comeuppance.
He attacked me on my way to help you.
She tried to sit. Why didn't you say anything?
Harry gently pushed her back to the bed. You were more important at the time. It seems that Hank was checking on my shop at the same time and heard us. He arrested Jared for assault. There were witnesses, tourists walking past who saw him attack me.
Good.
Lydia rarely wished ill on anyone, but Jared deserved all the karma coming at him, in spades.
Will I need to make a statement?
Only if you feel the need. Witnesses his father can't pay off will be enough for Hank. She touched his hand.
How do you feel about it?
Relieved.
For the first time since he had first told her about his injury, he looked like he was at peace.
Jared has been a thorn in my side for as long as I can remember. He is also being charged for the window. Another witness came forward, making a statement about seeing him throw a rock through it.
Wow. It looks like his number came up in a big way.
I do have some other news. He looked down at the bed. Dr. Mead took a look at my shoulder, and she thinks she can help me.
Harry.
She cupped his chin and applied pressure until he met her eyes.
That's wonderful, isn't it?
I don't want to hope. He swallowed. I don't dare hope until I know it is a certainty.
If you want me to, I'll be there.
He took her hand. I would like that.
Lydia smiled at him, tears stinging her eyes. He leaned in and kissed her, gentle and much too short. Heavens, she had missed that, missed him.
Okay, she said, clearing her throat.
Now for the serious stuff,
What's up with you and Max? He smiled, the pain easing.
We came to an agreement of sorts. We both love you, so we agreed to focus on you and not each other.
He's a wise cat.
She wanted to laugh at the indignant look on his face, but her ribs already ached, so she held it in.
A knock on the door had him standing. The door opened, and Willa poked her head inside.
Am I interrupting?
No, Lydia said. Come on in.
She grabbed Harry's hand before he could move out of reach. After an endless second, he laced their fingers together and stayed at her side.
I know this is too little too late,
Willa said, pulling a small black velvet box out of the bag she carried.
But here's the ring you commissioned.
She opened the box and handed it to Lydia.
Willa, it's stunning.
The ring winked against its black box, silver wrapping around twin ovals of rose quartz and amethyst. A round sapphire sat between them, dark blue, sparkling, and calling to her.
I can feel it, she whispered.
She looked up at Willa.
I can feel my power. Good.
Willa looked relieved.
Dr. McGuire was hoping that the ring would act as a conduit. We gathered up the shards of the stone. There's every chance that you can reclaim your magic. It will take time, and there are no guarantees, but Dr. McGuire has already agreed to help you.
I think I want that.
Harry finally spoke, his voice quiet. Not until your strength is returned. She blinked at him.
No man had ever cared enough to step in and voice his opinion about her well-being or her magic.
Okay, she said.
She had never felt as loved as she did right now.
Thanks.
He looked surprised, but he nodded, squeezing her hand. Willa cleared her throat, backing to the door.
I'll leave you two alone. I just wanted to deliver the ring and make sure you were doing all right. Don't put it on until you're ready to start reclaiming, but keep it with you so you can tune in to each other.
I will.
Thank you again, Willa. It's just so beautiful.
Willa smiled and waved as she closed the door.
Are you certain, Lydia?
Harry sat next to her, concern and something else in his eyes as he studied her.
About trying to take back your magic? It can be
dangerous, I know. I'm sure that I want to give it a shot. Don't worry. I'll know when to give up if it's not working. Dr. McGuire will also be there, and despite him being a sorcerer, I trust him.
I want to be with you when you do this.
She laid her head against his chest and listened to his steady heartbeat.
I wouldn't want you anywhere else, Harry.
Chapter 13. Harrison took a deep, calming breath, then knocked on Lydia's front door. She opened it, smiling up at him.
You know you don't have to knock.
So you've told me. I still feel the need to
be formal, polite, blah, blah, blah.
She laughed at his raised eyebrows, then grabbed his hand and stood on tiptoe.
Kiss me hello, Harry Gray. I've missed you.
He wrapped his arm around her and pulled her in, happy to oblige. When she moaned, low in her throat, he deepened the kiss, letting go of her hand to cradle the back of her head, angle her to seduce, to taste, to devour. When he was forced to come up for air, she leaned against him, gasping.
Wow, you do know how to kiss, Harry.
You inspire me.
Then let me inspire you again.
She pulled him down and captured his lips. It was his turn to be overwhelmed by the kiss, to need the support of the wall beside him when she finally freed him.
So,
she said, sounding as breathless as he felt,
what's the plan for today?
He took a few deep breaths, let his head clear. Since she had been released from the hospital, Harry had come over every day, finding ways to distract her from what he knew she wanted, her magic. So far it had worked, but he could feel her getting antsy, and more so as her strength returned, faster than he expected. "I wanted to take you to the waterfall today."
"The waterfall? I'd love to see it."
"Good. Shall we?" He wiped his hand before he took hers, afraid his palm might be sweating. He had planned this day for some time, and now that it was here, he could feel nerves threatening to take hold. Lydia seemed oblivious to his discomfort. He wanted to keep it that way and distract her until he was ready. He drove her out to the waterfall, and she climbed out of the car as soon as he stopped.
"It's beautiful, Harry."
She headed for the pool at the base of the waterfall, hugging herself as she got closer to the water. This time of year, the wind and spray blowing off the waterfall would be chilly. Perhaps he should have waited until she wasn't so recently out of the hospital.
"Stop second-guessing yourself. I'm fine."
He shook his head. Sometimes it was as if she could read his thoughts. Moving to her side, he took her hand and watched the water pour down the side of the cliff. "I used to come here as a boy, after I was injured. I hoped the water would heal me somehow. I spent hours swimming in the pool, no matter how cold." He shook his head. "I think it helped more with my muscle recovery than anything. But it did allow me to start making peace with what I was and what I wasn't. I'm doubly honored that you brought me here." She leaned against him, letting out a sigh, and he knew it was time. "Lydia?" She looked up at him, frowning.
"Harry, what's wrong?"
"Nothing. There's something I want to." He let go of her hand and backed away from her, panic skating through him. What if she didn't want this?
"Harry."
Her voice was gentle, her hand cool when she touched his wrist.
"It's okay. Deep breaths. Then tell me what you need to tell me."
He took her advice, breathing in the familiar scent of the water, the forest, the damp soil. It helped calm him, enough that he might be able to get through the next sentence. "Lydia, I love you. I think I have since the day I tumbled at your feet." He swallowed and slipped the ring box out of his coat pocket, watching her eyes widen. Time to do this properly, since there was no turning back. He sank to one knee and opened the box. "Lydia Reston, will you marry me?" Lydia stared at the ring, winking at her from the navy velvet box. Her heart pounded wildly, and she was afraid she might get lightheaded enough to pass out.
Harry, oh my, I need to sit down."
He was on his feet in an instant, taking her arm as he led her to a boulder, away from the roar of the water. "I didn't mean to overwhelm you. I can..."
"Don't you dare take it back."
She let out her breath and smiled at him.
"Come here and ask me again."
He frowned. "Lydia..."
"I know it must have been panic-inducing the first time, but I really need you to ask me again."
He nodded, swallowing, and knelt in front of her again. "Lydia, I wanted to be smooth and suave and calm as I asked you this, but I am none of these, and all I can do is offer you my heart, my life, and all that I am." His fingers shook as he opened the ring box. "Marry me." She slid off the boulder to her knees and framed his face. She knew her hands were shaking as much as his, but she needed to touch him.
"Harrison Gray, you are the most unexpected, incredible surprise. When I moved to Nocturne Falls, I was escaping so much, and I didn't hope for anything beyond a quiet life with Max. But you..."
She traced his cheek, loving the feel of his warm, stubbled skin under her fingers.
"You were the last thing I anticipated and the best thing that has ever happened to me. You rescued me, Harry."
"No." He cradled her cheek. You rescued me, Lydia. I was lonely and determined to spend my life that way until you showed me that there was a different path for me. She smiled. We rescued each other. I love you, Harry, and it will be my honor and my pleasure to marry you. He let out a shaky breath and pulled the ring free of the box. The sapphires and rubies sparkled in the rose gold setting, delicate, but proclaiming to anyone who looked at it that she was well and truly spoken for. Lydia held her breath as he slipped the ring on her finger. It fit perfectly. She let out a shout of laughter and tackled him. He caught her like he always had, kissing her as they sank to the soft, leaf-strewn ground. About the author. Kate Dean has been writing since she could hold a pen in her hand and put more than two words together on paper. She grew up losing herself in the wilds of fantasy worlds and has had some of her own adventures while tromping through the UK and a few other parts of the world. A lover of all things supernatural, she infuses that love into her stories, giving them a unique edge. When she's not writing, she loves cooking, scaring herself silly in the local cemeteries, and reading pretty much anything she can get her hands on. There, I got the official biography out of the way. I love to write, and yes, I have been doing it most of my life. I've made up stories in my head for as long as I can remember, and I am thrilled to be able to write them down and share them with you. I love writing different types of stories, and jump from fantasy to paranormal and over to romance. So many genres, so little time. If you want to be the first to know when the next book is released, or be in on some fun, exclusive contests and giveaways, join my list here, katedeanwrites.com/join-my-list. You can learn more about me and my books at my website, katedeanwrites.com. I look forward to meeting you. This has been The Witch Rescues Her Werewolf, a Nocturne Falls Universe story, written by Kate Dean, narrated by B.J. Harrison. Copyright 2017 by Kristen Painter. Production copyright 2017 by Kristen Painter.